Training Day by Ebony Orchid. Read by Superstitious Me. Chapter 1. The Morning Service. Sam had told him to stay laying on his side in the bed, sticky with his own cum, until he was specifically told that he could move or get up. Then Sam had gone to grab a shower. Dean swallowed, and swallowed again, working to dislodge the heaviness that seemed to have settled into the back of his throat, and trying not to think too much about what was ahead of him now. He didn't know how much his surrender would change the way Sam was with him, what Sam wanted from him. But he couldn't let Sam suffocate his mind with the drug, making him a slave to his own dick. And he couldn't let Sam bleed him dry, his powers shoving their way up into his body until it gave out entirely. None of his options were pretty. Not that he'd ever had too many really good options in life, but it was harder somehow, knowing that it was Sam who was pushing these options on him. Sam, the brother he'd give the world to, was doing this to him. He shifted his shoulders, tense, and glanced at the bathroom door before going back to looking at walls and windows, even though he wasn't really taking anything in. Only, it wasn't his Sam, not really. It didn't matter, though. Or, it mattered, but it didn't change what he had to do. The price of rebellion was too high, considering how unlikely it was that he would succeed. He had to keep his eyes open, and his mind and body ready for when an opportunity arose that might give him the upper hand in this. But for now, he'd just have to learn how to breathe through whatever violence Sam beat into his body, and whatever horror Sam etched into his heart. When Sam came out of the bathroom some minutes later, he looked at Dean, a kind of twisted wonderment lighting his face. "You're actually being obedient this morning. I love it. I might just have to stay home today and see how good you can really be." Dean shifted his eyes away, then. He didn't want to make Sam angry, but he'd much rather not have Sam test his level of obedience all day today, or really any day. If all Sam wanted was for him to be a fuck toy before and after work, then he wouldn't like it, but he'd be okay, considering the alternatives. But if Sam was going to make him literally jump through hoops, or stand on his head for an hour, or catch M&Ms in his mouth like some kind of show dog, then his so-called obedience wouldn't last very long at all. "What's the matter? You don't want me to stay, Dean? You don't want me to stay and play with you?" Sam walked to stand right next to the bed, his semi-hard cock in Dean's face. And Dean could feel Sam's eyes burning into him from above, even though he didn't move his head. He swallowed hard, knowing the playful tone in Sam's voice was only a thin mask over darkness just waiting to lash out. There really wasn't any good answers to this question. If he told the truth, which was that he hoped Sam left and stayed gone for as many hours as possible, daily until one of them died, then he would be sticky with far more blood than cum in under a minute. But if he lied and said he wanted Sam to stay, not only might Sam actually stay, even if he wasn't originally going to, but he would probably sense the lie and tear him to shreds anyway. He tried to think of ways he'd calmed or distracted Sam in the past, but he just kept coming up empty. "Dean, are you stalling? Trying to strategize? I thought we'd been through this. Whores don't need plans, Dean." Sam ran his fingers through Dean's hair, rushed. He grabbed at it, but it was still a bit too short to allow him a good grip when his fingers were moving that fast. "I should have known that even in your obedience, you'd still be thinking like something you're not. You're a whore, Dean, an owned one at that, which makes you, quite literally, a sex slave. Your whole reason for living is to please me, Dean. Forget about what you want and think about what I want. You have no other job or purpose in life. You are a tool for my pleasure, and that should be the only thing on your mind. Am I making myself clear?" Sam didn't sound angry and seemed only a little impatient. These were just facts to Sam, facts he needed Dean to understand. "Yes, sir." Crazy, but yeah, crystal clear. So, think about the question again and give the answer most likely to please me. If you don't know, guess, and then we can find the answer together. Find the answer together. Right. That kind of togetherness usually involved damage to Dean's internal organs, but Sam always seemed to be having fun, and that was, apparently, all he should be concerned about. Life didn't really work that way, though. Even if he was trying not to lean on his hunter tendencies, it was just a natural impulse of most living things to seek self-preservation. He could only rationalize focusing on Sam's needs and wants, and ignoring his own, if he really believed that his personal survival depended solely on Sam's happiness. The problem was, however, that Sam in a good mood wasn't necessarily less likely to hurt him than Sam in a bad mood. He would just have different reasons. Like maybe it was sexy. In the end, though, since there was no good answer to this question, he settled for honesty, because he knew how much Sam hated being lied to. "I'd like to have some time alone during the day, sir." Sam didn't say anything, just continued to move his fingers through Dean's hair. The silence scared Dean even more than all the horrid threats and the half-truths always pouring off Sam's tongue. He closed his eyes when Sam's finger explored lower, following the lines of his neck to his shoulder, his arm, and his side, where they stopped. He tried not to move too much, because Sam was really going to hurt him now. He just knew it. Probably something sick and gory, like tear out a kidney by hand or something. "Time alone. Sure, I see. You're once again the older brother, annoyed half to death by his little brother. You want me to go away. But I went away, remember? Twice. You didn't like me being gone, don't you remember? Do you really want to be alone again? Alone in my world without me protecting you? Do you really think that would be better than being here with me?" Sam's usually placid tone held a hint of something, maybe bitterness, and almost an edge of disbelief. It made Dean want to see the expression on his face to better understand what was really going on and how he should respond. "May I turn and face you, sir?" "No. Stay as you are." "Okay. Well, it's not that I think you're annoying or anything. I just... you usually hurt me a lot when you're around. And you act like I should do tricks when you snap your fingers, like some kind of trained animal. And it's just hard for me to handle that stuff. So I wanted you to go, so I wouldn't have to be punished for disappointing you." Sam chuckled, which really didn't seem like a good sign, but the tone of his speech held no trace of laughter. It was mostly lit by the barely there hint of curiosity. "A trained animal. Interesting. Maybe you're right. I've had pretty high expectations for you, assuming that you would just catch on, just obey, just do what made sense for a whore to do. But you've never been trained. It might be fun to beat a dog for not doing a trick properly, but if it had never been taught the trick in the first place, the beating wouldn't help encourage it to do a better job, because it doesn't know how to do a good job." "Oh, Dean, You act dumb so much that I almost forgot how smart you are. I mean, they'd mentioned it when I got your papers, but no wonder you've been so defiant. I forgot all about your training. I need to train you. That's what we'll do today, Dean. Training. Sam was petting him again, warm fingers moving through his hair and over his skin, but Dean's blood was running ice cold and he shuddered. Training? Yeah, this was bad. Really bad. Suck my cock. It was said softly as if to encourage, but still clearly a command rather than a request. Sam's dick was hanging only inches from his lips, already filling out, but Dean hesitated. Not for any particular reason, more because he'd never just taken orders at the drop of a hat from anyone other than his dad, and those were never these kind of orders. Of course, it didn't really matter why he hesitated. Sam tugged at his heart with his power, and Dean's breath hitched. It wasn't a full-on pull to make him scream, but it was enough to warn him, make him ache. Dean reached out a hand to pull Sam's cock to his lips, but he felt that tug again and stopped. Only your mouth. He exhaled and shifted, angling his head so he could mouth over the head of Sam's cock, pulling as much of it into his mouth as he could. It was nearly fully hard now, and the angle was difficult, but he used his tongue to explore the part he could fit in his mouth while he sucked. He felt dirty, and not in a sexy way, more like in a used and tainted way. It wasn't that he'd never sucked cock, or even that he'd never sucked Sam's cock, but he'd never done it like this, under duress, without the other person caring about him, or even just caring whether or not he got off. He'd never done it like this, like a whore. But that's what he was now, wasn't he? A whore? Sam's hands yanked at his hair and Dean stopped moving, unsure of what Sam wanted from him. That's good. I like that. But shift a bit and relax your throat more. I'm gonna fuck your mouth. Don't fight it. You might gag a little, maybe feel like you can't get enough air, but just relax. You won't be dying on me anytime soon. He tried to relax his mouth and throat to accommodate more of Sam's cock as it began sliding in and out of his mouth, slow at first, but picking up speed. Sam's hand was in his hair, holding his head at an awkward angle, but one he seemed to like for his purposes. Dean kept his lips sealed around the cock slipping over his tongue and tried to clear his mind of thought, tried to just endure the feel of Sam making his mouth into just one more fuckhole for his pleasure. Then Sam was pumping hard, hitting the back of his throat. Fuck yeah. I like that. Sam's rhythm faltered and he seemed pretty close to coming. Then he pulled Dean's head to him and sank in as deep as he could go, mumbling affirmations as Dean's lungs began to protest. But he didn't come down Dean's abused throat. He pulled out and took his cock in hand, yanking it hard and fast. On your back. Face up. Dean rolled onto his back, knowing what was next, but also knowing he had no say in the matter and no way to fight it. So he just closed his eyes, and he heard Sam grunt and curse as jet after jet of Sam's hot cum splashed onto his upturned face. He could hear Sam's breathing slowing back down to a normal pace, and he ground his teeth together, hoping Sam wouldn't do what he was most likely to do. Fuck, Dean. You're awfully pretty on your own, but you look downright sinful covered in cum. And it's such a good look for a whore. We'll have to do this more often. Yeah, Lady Luck had clearly run scared from Dean, never to return. Maybe Sam had paid her off. Or had killed her. Sam reached out to scoop up cum from Dean's cheek with his finger before smearing the traces over Dean's lips. Suck. Dean grudgingly opened his mouth for the invading finger and sucked it clean until Sam pulled it back out. Good boy. Dean's jaw tightened, and he was glad his eyes were closed, because if they'd been open, they'd be flashing daggers at his brother right now. He felt Sam's heat pull away from him, and figured Sam had just stepped away from the bed, which was just fine with him, since not having to deal with Sam was always preferable to having to deal with Sam these days. Spread your legs, whore. Knees up. Feet flat on the bed, like you're about to get fucked. Dean bit back a retort that would gain him nothing and shifted until he was in the position, as instructed. Yeah, like that. You stay right there, just like that, until I tell you otherwise. I have some calls to make, some supplies to locate for your very first training day with me. It's going to be great, Dean. I'm going to have so much fun with you today. But while I'm doing all the boring stuff, I want to be able to see my whore open for me, ready for my use, and painted with my cum. Dean's whole body shook with shame and fear, and with the strength it took to maintain his restraint, to not curse Sam to hell or just crack under the pressure of all this. You have something to say to me, whore? Dean couldn't see his expression, but it sounded almost like a dare. A dare Dean would be crazy to take. Sam was just waiting for him to fuck up so he could brutalize him. And Dean didn't want to give him the satisfaction of successfully goading him into something stupid. He also just didn't want any more pain or humiliation, and his mouth never ceased to get him into trouble. No, sir. He breathed it out, quick, as deferentially as he could manage without gagging. Good. He heard Sam walk over in the general direction of the door, then the beep of a cell phone and the soft litany of requests, arrangements, scheduling, which lulled him somewhat, despite his ever-present anxiety. The pose made him feel like a whore. But if he was honest with himself, wasn't that what he was now, really? It was beyond Sam just calling him a whore. That bothered him, sure. It set his fucking teeth on edge every time Sam said it. But the ache in his chest, from emotions he kept on a tight leash, had nothing to do with what Sam called him. Not really. It had everything to do with the way Sam treated him, and the way he was forced to respond to that treatment. Sam called him a whore with a tone in his voice that said he thought Dean was less than nothing. But it still hurt like hell whenever Sam treated him like he really was less than nothing. He didn't really like Sam's continual display of dominance, though in the past, a sexually aggressive Sam could probably have led him around by his dick if he asked. But Sam didn't seem to care about him at all now, and it stung because he thought what they'd had was something. More than just sex. Something deep. Something he wouldn't muss by trying to put a name to it. But now it was like Sam couldn't see the worth of them caring for each other. Even though Dean had said, only days ago, that even with Sam kind of lost in darkness right now, Dean would be with him. Would stay by his side. Would give him what he needed. But not like this. Not without choice. Not without any trace of feelings beyond lust. A whore was all he was to Sam now. And maybe he'd heard it before, but it hadn't sunk in like it did lying there, spread wide open to the whole damn room, arranged just right for any sexual whim of his owner, filthy with the fruits of his labor. He was a fucking whore. He could have chosen pain and obedience, could have fought Sam every step of the way, but that might have meant death. And he was too stubborn and couldn't face death yet. Not when Sam might still have a chance. He could have chosen drugs and obedience, which would have meant he could blame it all on the chemicals in his body. But he was too self-conscious, and he wanted to keep his mind as whole as possible, so he refused to give himself up to the rush and the need. He'd chosen silence and obedience, which meant he just had to take it, just had to do as he was told, just had to be pretty, beg pretty, and fuck pretty. He just had to be Sam's whore. The word would probably never stop slicing away at his insides, but it wasn't just some insult thrown at him anymore. It was a title now. It was a fact. It was a truth. He was a whore. He hated himself for that, but he had no way to fix it right now, no way to even really try. And he hated that he was so weak, that he had water welling in his eyes. Because even as he tried to be a good boy for Sam, part of him secretly wished that Sam would just fucking kill him already. But then Sam was leaning on the bed, leaning over him, and he felt the rough wet of a damp washcloth on his face as Sam softly swiped away most of the dried cum there, at least enough that he could flutter his eyelids open and closed again. It was strange to see his brother that close and not menacing. He was so gentle in his ministrations. Honestly, the tenderness confused Dean more than anything else, and his confusion must have shown. "Do you have a question, Dean? You can ask me something if you want to, right now. I want your training to be clear to you. So you know how to be a good boy for me all the time, okay? So go ahead and ask." The first question he thought to ask was, "Why are you being so nice to me?" But he figured that might not go over well, so he tried to get the information another way. "You're rough with me a lot, but right now, you're not being rough with me." Sam blinked down at him. That seems like more of an observation than a question. Dean breathed out audibly, his brow knitting together. "Well, if I'm just a whore to you..." Yeah, he really didn't know how to say it any other way. "Why are you being nice to me right now?" Sam laughed, sincerely amused, and the light actually went all the way to his eyes. "You're not just any whore, Dean. You're my whore. My property. And yes, okay, so you're also my brother, and a former hunter and all that. But I wouldn't have kept you around just to beat up on you all the time for no reason, Dean. I'm rough with you when it's pleasurable for me, and when you need the discipline. I don't need to hurt you for any other reason. And if I'm nice to you, it's just because that's what I want at that moment." Then Dean could see the shift, almost, as Sam's smile became wanton and sadistic. Sam pulled away from him, only to backhand Dean, a hard, stinging slap over his left cheek. Dean could taste a bit of blood from where his teeth must have connected with the inside of his cheek. He looked up at Sam, and Sam's expression was some mix between sweet and depraved. "See, Dean? You've been a good boy, so that wasn't about punishment. I just wanted that right then. It was for my pleasure. You're so hot when I hurt you, Dean. Fuck, if only you could see yourself the way I see you. You'd understand why my dick gets so fucking hard when I make you hurt for me." Dean glared up at him, jaw working, eyes refusing to water, and Sam laughed at him, cruel. "That expression right there? It's priceless, Dean. It has anger that says, in your former badass voice, 'If you hit me again, Sam, I'm gonna fucking kill you.' It has hurt in your 'I can't go on without you' voice that says, 'But Sammy, you're all I have. Please don't hurt me like this.' And it has a tiny cry of need in that voice you're keeping locked away in the back of your head that says, 'Please use me, sir. I'll be your good boy. Just fuck me, please. Don't hurt me.'" Dean could feel his body stiffen instantly, drowning in resentment, feeling exposed. He didn't know how true all that was, and maybe he didn't want to know, but he felt a flash of fear about what other demonic talents Sam might be hiding from him. Sam must have seen that tension in him, that flicker of worry over secrets being unveiled, because he called up the mask of a gentle smile, one meant to calm skittish horses and the like. "Don't worry, Dean. I'm not in your head. Not like you're thinking. I just know you. Maybe more than you do. And really, if I wanted to know something in particular, I'd just ask you. Because if you're good, you'll tell me the truth. And if you're not, I'll make you scream it for me." "Are you feeling a bit less confused now?" Dean swallowed, nodding, not trusting himself to speak. "Good." Sam stepped away from him in the bed, then, reaching for the cell phone he must have set on the nightstand before he wiped down Dean's face. "Well, go grab a shower and, of course, make sure to get really clean for me. When you're done, come and kneel on the bed and then we'll get started." "Yes, sir." No hesitation this time. These orders were simple and easy, nothing to stress over just yet, and no need to increase Sam's desire to hurt him. So Dean rolled out of bed in front of Sam and went to the bathroom to get clean. Chapter 2. The Whore Parade. He could figure out what Sam wanted from him in terms of being clean, so that wasn't a problem. But as he was drying off, he found himself moving more and more slowly, dreading a day of so-called training. He heard Sam among multiple voices out in the main room and something that sounded like minor construction, so he guessed that some of Sam's deliveries were being made. With the powers he had, Dean didn't think Sam needed actual implements of torture, but if causing Dean pain turned him on, then Sam would probably want half a dungeon's worth of items to use on him. Dean shuddered, but wiped away the fog on a swath of the mirror and looked at himself. He could do this. It was only pain and sex. The pain he could endure, and the sex, he didn't even have to just endure it sometimes. Sam didn't seem to mind letting Dean enjoy the sex, and he did most times. At least at some level, even if he wouldn't be having sex at all right then, or in that way if he had a choice. So he could do this. He would do this. He nodded to his reflection, steeling himself for a long day, and turned towards the door. But then he folded downwards, his knees thumping hollowly against the tiled floor as he cried out, and pain seared through him as the door opened of its own accord, revealing his brother standing a few feet beyond the threshold. "Crawl to me." Sam's voice brokered no argument, obedience or pain. Dean struggled to do as he was told, and quickly, his lungs fighting to bring in air, his limbs straining to comply, until he reached Sam and the pain disappeared instantly. "Kneel." Dean moved back to sit on his heels, but kept his gaze focused on the floor, breathing hard. "You were stalling. Why?" No room for anything less than total honesty. Truth or pain. I was thinking about today, about what things you might have ordered, and what you'd do to me." "And you thought it would be good to start the day by making me wait?" "No, sir. I don't know. I wasn't thinking."
"No, you weren't.
But that's what today's all about. Helping you understand what's expected of you and what the consequences are when you don't live up to those expectations. Yes?"
"Yes, sir."
"Okay, then. So, I was going to have you eat with me, but you're so late the food's almost cold, and I really don't think you deserve to sit at a table right now." Dean could hear his stomach rumble with disapproval at the thought of having to skip a meal, but he didn't say anything. "I'm going to eat at the table, and you'll kneel beside me. And if I feel like it, I might toss you a scrap or two. Sam headed towards the small table by the door. His boxers slung low, and Dean thought about getting up to follow him, but figured crawling would probably be more likely to show how sorry he was, and help him avoid more pain at Sam's hands, even if he hadn't explicitly been ordered to do so. When he kneeled up next to Sam's seat, Dean kept his head down and tried to keep his stomach quiet. "Good boy, Dean. I'm glad you crawled to me. I want you to do that all day, so you'll remember not to delay when following my orders. Do you understand?" Damn it. That was not the reaction he'd been hoping for. Sam had already decided he liked the idea, though, so Dean just breathed deep and promised himself he wouldn't get creative with apologies ever again. "Yes, sir." "Good. Here." Sam held down a small piece of melon for him to eat, but when he reached for it, he felt the now familiar tug of Sam's power on his heart, and he stopped. "Only your mouth." Dean nodded, opening his mouth wide enough so Sam could slip the fruit onto his tongue. The melon was good, and when he had swallowed it down, Sam's fingers, sticky with juice, were pressed against his lips, and he opened again and licked and sucked them clean without needing a direct order. Despite the fact that Sam had been very upset with him only a short time ago, Sam fed him well while he was eating his own meal, sharing bits of fruit and bread and meat and sweets until Dean was full enough, and after every swallow of food, Dean played his tongue over Sam's fingers until they were clean. When Dean had had his last piece of some chocolatey pastry, though, Sam didn't pull out his fingers after they were ostensibly clean, so Dean kept rolling his tongue over and around them and sucking on them. He closed his eyes, focusing on the feel of them on his tongue, the rub of them on his lips, and he could feel his cock rising, hardening, to curve up towards his stomach. But when he realized the way his body was responding, he stopped, with a sharp intake of breath, as his eyes darted around in a downward direction. He was almost shocked and kind of embarrassed, feeling like he shouldn't be at all turned on when he was in this state of subservience. Sam pulled his fingers out then, and Dean focused on trying to calm his dick down. "Why'd you stop, Dean?"
I don't know, sir."
"Stand up." Dean stood, gasping immediately as Sam's fingers closed around his dick. "Did you get hard just from licking my fingers?" Dean just lowered his head, shamed. Sam squeezed his cock. "Answer the question."
"Yes, sir."
"Is that because you want to suck my cock again, Dean?" Dean could feel the way his dick throbbed thinking about it, but then he thought about how it had felt to lay on the bed, covered in cum, and he just tried not to think about anything.
"I don't know, sir."
"You know, Dean, I think your dick is more honest than you are." He slid his thumb back and forth over the weeping slit of Dean's cock. "But that's okay for now. I didn't imagine you'd be able to acknowledge this about yourself. And I know what you need. So you'll get it, whether you think you want it or not." No matter what Sam thought he knew, Dean could see his responses were purely about the sexual chemistry they had. He might want to suck his brother's cock. Maybe. But he did not want to be an enslaved whore. That was not his idea of a good fucking time. "Go kneel on the bed and wait for me."
"Yes, sir."
"Great. Time to spread his legs again. Time to whore some more. Yeah. Great." Dean turned to walk to the bed, but felt the pull of Sam's powers inside him and stopped before he'd even taken one step.
"What did I tell you about getting around today, Dean?"
Dean took a deep breath, biting his metaphorical tongue,
and went down on all fours, trying not to shy away from Sam's hand as it smoothed over the skin of his ass. "It's a good look for you, Dean, all fours, crawling. In fact, it's pretty damn hot. Maybe we'll have to break in your play collar and leash." Sam's tone was playful, his words carrying a smirk, but Dean couldn't hear the teasing of a younger brother with newfound power over his elder brother, and he certainly couldn't imagine how sexy he might look crawling around nude on the floor. He just thought about being treated like some kind of animal, and his ego forgot all the lessons of the days and hours before. A collar, a leash, like a real fucking dog. No fucking way. He said it under his breath, barely audible, but he really hadn't meant to say it out loud at all. He felt his lungs constrict painfully in an instant, though, anyway. "What did you just say to me, whore?" Sam was standing over him then, menacing, one leg on either side of Dean's body, as he reached down, gaining enough grip in Dean's hair to yank his head back. "I have the right to do whatever the fuck I want with my property. And that's you, Dean. So if I want to put a collar on you and lead you around on a leash like a mutt, then I can do that. I could take my pet out for a walk right now, around the whole damn house, and show off the animal I'm about to tame today. I'd make you into my little whore parade. Would you like that?" "Fuck, just kill me already." His chest was burning with the effort to breathe, but he pleaded not to be made to demean himself in that way. "No, sir. Please, no. Just, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I know you can do whatever you want with me. But please don't take me out there on a leash, sir. Please." "I wasn't even going to do this today, but your fucking attitude is pissing me off royally. You seem to have a serious ego problem that we need to rectify right the fuck now. You are property. You have no rights, Dean. None." Sam angled Dean's head so he could see the desk on the other side of the room. "You have no more rights than that fucking chair over there. I don't have to get the chair's permission to use it. I just use it. If I want to sit in it, or stand on it, or kick it around, I can do that. Hell, if I want to cut it into pieces, or set it on fire and throw it out the fucking window, I can. That's my fucking prerogative as the owner of that fucking piece of property. Is my language clear enough for your brain to process, Dean? Because I don't want to have to teach you this again." Oh, God. Dean couldn't help the way he was trembling. He didn't usually have outward signs of his anxiety like this, but he was in pain, and he'd just been compared to a chair. A chair Sam could keep or burn to ash at will. "Yes, sir. I understand." "Well, in case you don't, let me clarify a few things for you, Dean. You're a slave and a whore. But those are property categories. They're just labels that describe your function as property, what you do for me, why I own you. Slave is for service. A whore is for pleasure. The fact that you can make my bed in the morning or make me come with your mouth means you're a highly valued property. But I still have free rein to use, alter, or destroy you in whatever way I please." Sam bent, then, pressing the heat and authority of his words directly over Dean's ear. "Because I own you. And that ownership is absolute. Do you understand?" The tremors racking his body were even less about the pain then, and more about the fear. Sam was hurting him, yes, but he was mostly just restricting his breathing, making him work for it, making him more conscious of what he was using the air for. Sam could do a lot more damage if he wanted to, and his voice held so much malice, so much promised cruelty, that all Dean could think right then was, "Oh God, please don't hurt me. Oh God, I'll be good. I'll be good." "Yes, sir. I understand. I'll be good." Sam released his grip on Dean's hair, his head falling between his shaking shoulders, and withdrew his powers from Dean's body as he stepped away towards the bed with exhaled exasperation. "The problem, Dean, is that your mouth gets you into trouble, but can't get you out of it. And you were doing just fine only 5 minutes ago. But no, you just had to go and fuck it up, didn't you? Didn't you?" Oh God, Sam was going to fuck him up bad. I'm sorry, sir. Just shut up." Dean nodded. "Yes, sir. You may have run your mouth around me all the time back in the day, but that's not going to work here, Dean. Not here and not now. If you disrespect me, I have to make sure you haven't forgotten what you are and what I am to you. Am I getting through to you?" "Yes, sir." "Okay, then. So, whore, why don't you beg to wear the collar and leash in here? And maybe, if you beg pretty enough, I won't make you wear them outside the room today." Fuck. Dean definitely didn't want to do this. Didn't want to beg to be led around like a real pet, wearing some collar. But he didn't want to hurt any more, or any worse, and he'd brought this on himself by freaking out and mouthing off. Again. He'd never wish for anything to facilitate his submission. Never. But part of him hoped that Sam would gag him so he could stop digging himself deeper into the hole. "You'd rather I parade you around the building, Dean?" "No, sir. But..." He took a deep breath, closing his eyes. "Please, may I wear the collar and leash here in the room, sir?" "You want to see what it's like to be led around in here, Dean?" Hell no. But he'd beg for it if it meant that he wouldn't have to do the same thing in front of a horde of laughing strangers. "Yes, sir. Please, lead me by the leash, sir." "All right, then." Sam walked over to the desk where a number of things were displayed. There was even a new chest of some sort, sitting open next to the desk, that seemed to have more items, only some of which Dean recognized. Everything must have been there when Dean came out of the bathroom, but his attention had obviously been elsewhere. "Come here, Dean." At least Sam hadn't said, "Here, boy," or anything remotely related to that baby talk kind of speech that people used when coaxing their pets into action. That was something, right? Dean crawled over to him, kneeling up across the desk from the chair he'd only recently learned was his absolute equal in Sam's eyes. It felt a little creepy, honestly. In their line of work, they'd seen supernatural entities inhabit all kinds of inanimate objects, but he'd never stopped to have any kind of philosophical exploration of what it meant to be living and what kinds of things had spirit or logic or feelings or anything like that. He knew he was about to be treated like an animal, and it felt shameful. It made him wonder if dogs who didn't like leashes and cages had the same reasons he did, wanted the same freedoms he did. Damn. He knew the situation had to be truly fucked to have him going all introspective about his place in the food chain and potential camaraderie with other so-called pets and random inanimate objects. Sam reached down then and slid a smooth leather collar around his neck, tightening it until it was snug but not tight, and buckling it on the side. There seemed to be a D-ring in front and another in the back. Dean felt the matching leash snap into place at the nape of his neck bowed his head as if that simple movement could somehow pull him away from all this. Get down on all fours, whore. A simple instruction with no vocal emotion. Right. Dean tried to breathe deep as he put his hands down, eyes fixed to the floor. He just knew he had to keep breathing and keep being quiet. He could get through this. He had to. And it was his own damn fault anyway. No one to blame but himself, right? Fuck. I don't exactly know what the protocol is for leashed slaves outside the home, so I guess I'll have to find that out and teach you to do this properly, if I ever decide I want you to go anywhere with me. Sam sounded curious again, but a little unsure, like this was an intriguing experiment and he was nervous about how it would turn out. But if Sam was having a rough time adjusting to the demands of being a slave owner, then maybe he shouldn't require Dean to do all this crazy formal shit. Dean huffed out loud, but quickly fell silent when he heard himself, hoping that Sam hadn't noticed how agitated he was. He knew that he really didn't need to push himself any further into Sam's bad side. Thankfully, though, Sam was musing about the whole walking his slave situation. For right now, though, just stay beside me. Turn when I turn. Speed up when I speed up. Pause when I pause. And stop and kneel up when I stop. Basically, just keep up and don't get in my way. Breathe. Yes, sir. Even if the weight of the collar and leash at his neck felt so wrong against his skin, the act that went with it didn't sound too terribly difficult. And when Sam got going, Dean found that it really wasn't all that difficult, though knee pads would have made the trek much less stressful on his already overworked knees. Sam walked from the desk to the head of the bed with the leash in his right hand, and Dean followed on the right. When Sam paused there before turning to walk to the foot of the bed, then over the expanse of the windows, on the other side of the room, Dean paused appropriately, then continued following on the right. Then Sam stopped, seeming to look out the window, and Dean paused, but then kneeled up because it seemed like the pause was long enough to be classified as a stop. Sort of. Maybe. Yeah, he really didn't know what the fuck he was doing. But Sam wasn't yelling or hurting him or anything, so he must have been doing okay. He followed Sam from the window to the small table, then up to the door where there was a knock. But as Sam opened the door without a word, Dean drew away from him, as far as the leash would allow, slinking into the shadows by the wall. Sam led a deferential older woman into the room, and all she did was gather up the spread-out remnants of their meal on the table, before exiting out the door as quietly as she'd come. Then Sam went back to walking the room, tugging Dean along. Dean knew the apparent servant woman had hardly glanced his way, but her mere presence made him painfully aware of how exposed he was, how debauched he must seem, entirely naked, available for use at the drop of a hat, and kneeling silently, with a fucking leash at his neck. He couldn't help but think about the twisted mess that his life had become. Only a week ago he'd been hunting, in a world he knew, with a brother that he at least thought he knew, sleeping in ratty motels and driving his baby all over the nation. Now he was crawling to heel like a dog, with a collar and leash, beside the man who supposedly owned him, that same brother he thought he knew, and preparing to train for a life of whoring and endless servitude. He almost choked from the hard backward yank of the leash. Feeling sorry for yourself, Dean? Sam was walking up to where Dean had stopped, since he had apparently continued moving after Sam had momentarily paused. What the fuck do you care? No, sir. Sam laughed, throaty. If you want to throw that attitude at me, go ahead, Dean. Say whatever you feel you need to get off your chest. I'm just going to take it out on your ass later. But if you need to say something, go right ahead. Maybe you really do need more pain than I already have planned for you. Maybe I overestimated the strength of your survival instincts. There were so many witty retorts on the tip of his tongue, and he shouldn't say them, but... No, this was fucked. What was Sam going to do to him, really? Take it out on his ass? What the hell did that mean? Was Sam going to fuck him harder than he'd fucked him yesterday or the times before that? Dean was seething, his breath hissing in and out between his teeth. He wanted nothing more than to take Sam down with a sideswipe and throttle some sense into him. His anger was rushing hot to its head, though, and his heart and stomach began to rebel from the rising pressure. It was just as well. Sam would just fuck him up if he tried anything anyway, and he would have gone not one single step towards breaking his brother out of the darkness that seemed to rule him now. Wow. You're so fucking mad right now you could scream or break things, but you're just being silent, which is almost like being good. But I know you have an attitude problem, whore, even if you don't say anything. So don't think for a second that I'm going to let you off easy just because you seem to have learned, for the moment, to keep your mouth shut. Unless you're sucking cock. Or begging for it. Dean cracked his neck twice and tried to focus on slowing the pace of his breathing instead of thinking about all the easy contempt Sam kept throwing his way. Then he felt a thrum of tiny, unseen spikes driving into him in waves, and his body tried to shrink in on itself, as if that would provide any protection. Don't forget that I'm in charge here, whore. Don't forget that I'm in charge here, whore. I suggest you keep a lid on that need to rebel. I don't take kindly to insolence, and, as you can tell, I don't have the slightest issue with hurting you. So, quiet is okay, but if you don't follow my orders in a timely fashion, your lack of verbal disrespect won't help you much. Do you understand, whore? Dean felt like he had to snatch breaths from the air every time the pain rolled out, before it drummed back in again. But his answer was quick, and he hoped it was good enough to make Sam stop. Yes, sir. Sam bent to pet his hair then, and the spikes cleared away. Dean swallowed, willing himself to be calm, and reminded himself over and over that he had to be quiet and had to be good, or he was going to hurt, and he didn't want to hurt. So, why don't you go kneel on the bed for me, At the bottom of the bed, facing out to the room. Make yourself comfortable, but I want your knees spread, so I can see everything that's mine. Yes, sir. Chapter 3. The Tasteful Performance. Sam snapped off the leash, then unbuckled the collar and stepped back, allowing Dean room to maneuver. He was glad to be free of the collar, but he shuddered as he inched toward the bed, trying not to think about whatever twisted activity was next on Sam's list. He just had to take every moment as it came, and just try not to make Sam mad, and just crawl up onto the bed, and just kneel like a good little slave, and just spread his legs like a good little whore, and just shut up, stop thinking, and do it. As he struggled to find a way to kneel comfortably and still be open for Sam, he realized that there wasn't any position he'd feel comfortable in. Not with Sam watching him like that, like he was something to be captured and eaten. But then Sam turned his attentions to rearranging the room, or, rather, to dragging one of the chairs from the sitting area a few feet from the end of the bed. When Sam turned back to him, though, Dean had to look away from the intensity of his gaze, the hunger in it, the ownership. Then Sam's hands were on him, brushing over every curve, angle, and scar. But it wasn't entirely sexual. It almost seemed scientific. It wasn't like Sam hadn't seen him nude before, or that Sam hadn't been right there when he got 3/4 of these scars. So Dean risked a glance upward to see Sam's expression and got caught by Sam's roving eyes. "And you're confused again. Ask your question, Dean." Dean made a noise of frustration in the back of his throat. "What are you, you know, doing?" Dean's eyebrows knitted together and he gave a half shrug. "I'm inspecting my property." "Inspecting? For what?" Sam chuckled. "I'm not inspecting you for anything, Dean. I'm just inspecting you, so I can know the condition of my property before I use it." Sam said "it" as if he was talking about something instead of someone, and it didn't fit. Dean knew he had to submit, but he clearly wasn't an "it." As the inspection progressed, though, he started to feel more and more like he really was some kind of art piece or animal, something that could have its weak spots poked, its strengths measured, its habits observed, and its characteristics catalogued for future reference. And all of this was done without any attention paid to the wants or needs of the thing being inspected, because it wasn't presumed to have any, or at least not any that mattered. Sam reached for and held Dean's chin up, his thumb pulling down on Dean's bottom lip. "Open." Dean's first reaction was to clench his jaw, but he resisted, slowly opening his mouth, eyes skittering away from Sam's as Sam changed the angle of his head to peer into his mouth. If Sam hadn't looked so serious about the whole bizarre inspection business, Dean would have thought Sam was just fucking with him, trying to freak him out or something by being even more weird than the situation inherently warranted. But no, Sam was really inspecting him, and it felt like his lungs had to crawl up his throat to get air. "Go ahead and close it." Dean closed his mouth, his tongue darting out to wet lips that were suddenly dry. Sam hadn't done anything, hadn't hurt him, or even spent all that much time looking over erogenous zones, but somehow this still felt as degrading as all the crawling, the collar, and the leash. Then Sam tilted his head further up and took his lips with his own. Dean was totally caught off guard, letting Sam direct the kiss more because of surprise than any effort at compliance. The press of Sam's lips was tender, even if his tongue was assertive, prying Dean's lips open to explore the taste of his mouth. The kiss was deep and slow, but it still communicated passion to every cell in Dean's body, and it was easy for him to give in to this, to forget for a moment, and just kiss Sam back. He let Sam stir up desire in him, let his cock rise and thicken in the glide of Sam's hand as his lips filled out from the rub of Sam's lips. Sam pulled back sooner than Dean expected, though, abruptly, and Dean almost let the "don't" on the tip of his tongue roll out into the air. But he remembered that this wasn't a real show of affection, because this wasn't his Sam, even if, for a moment, it almost seemed like it could have been. Sam broke all contact with Dean's body, but didn't really move away. Dean watched him close soft, familiar eyes, steeped in longing, and shake his head with a puff of air. "How can you still do this to me?" Sam's words were burdened by a kind of misery and frustration, and they were so soft that Dean almost thought he'd imagined them. "What?" But the eyes that met his again were pitiless and predatory, and only familiar of late. "Fucking whore." The heat of Sam's power smoldered against Dean's skin, and his breathing became rapid as he tried to understand how he might have made Sam angry just by kissing him. And he searched Sam's face to try to figure out if his Sam had really been there, or if he'd just been dreaming while awake. "I am not going to roll over every time you bat your pretty little eyelashes at me." as if you have any power here or deserve anything more than whatever I let you kneel and beg for. I don't give a fuck if you want this or not, but I know for a fact that you do. And I shouldn't have to be sweet for you to be that eager little slut for me every minute of every day. Because that's what you were meant to be, Dean. My property. My whore. Mine. And nothing else. Understand? Dean's eyes left Sam's then, finding a dull spot on the sheets below. There was nothing to see in those eyes now, except lust and power and greed. Yes, sir. All of this? Sam's tone and cadence seemed meant for instruction as he moved back a bit to gesture sweepingly over Dean's body. Is mine. Everything about you, whether I can see it right now or not, is mine. You belong to me. I own you. You have nothing except what I allow you to have. And you are nothing except what I allow you to be. And I've already told you what that is, haven't I? Dean exhaled in a puff, his words breathy. Yes, sir. What are you? He felt the wedge of hopelessness from yesterday burrow deeper. I'm property. I'm your whore. The student-teacher dynamic continued. When? Breathe. Always. Where? Breathe. Everywhere. Those are the essential truths, Dean. The four key words of your life from here on out. Understand? Yes, sir. Dean half expected Sam to point out a bulleted list on a chalkboard or smack his hands with a ruler. Repeat them. His jaw was working overtime and his eyelid twitched, but he forced the words out. Property. Whore. Always. Everywhere. Again. Property. Whore. Always. Everywhere. So, then, what am I to you? Brother wasn't what Sam was looking for, and neither were family, partner, lover, friend, or anything else that used to be high on the list of what they were to each other. Dean's breath caught in his throat. You're my owner. That's right, whore. And are you ready to service your owner? Sam could do whatever the fuck he wanted, right? So why did he keep making him say all this shit? Everything about this exchange made Dean's chest and throat hurt from what he could only guess was some weak and weepy response he was suppressing, hard. I asked you a question, whore. Yes, sir. Yes, what? He said it through clenched teeth, but it still hurt. Yes. I'm ready to service my owner. And how did you service me this morning, whore? Dean exhaled in a rush, colored by disbelief. Was whore his fucking name now? Say it, whore. I sucked your cock, sir. Yeah, you did. And you got pretty excited later when you were thinking about doing it again, didn't you? That was not the whole fucking story. But Sam wouldn't care about his side of the truth, because he was just a piece of property, just a whore. Yes, sir. Well, I bet you'll love this whore. Sam powered down, and Dean looked up at him, his skin almost chilled after the heat of Sam's tangible displeasure. I want you to make yourself come for me. That's why I pulled up the chair, you know. Far enough away to see the big picture. A whore on display. But still close enough to see everything in detail, like how hard you get off on me watching you. This is a privilege, really. You'll never be allowed to pleasure yourself without my permission. So you should be grateful that I'm even interested in watching this bit of self-gratification. It won't happen that often, and when it does, I probably won't let you come. But it's your first time doing this for me in your new role, so I thought I'd be generous. Sam smirked, said he knew his request was hardly generous, whether or not he let Dean come. And don't go wandering off into some little fantasy world, whore. Look at me when you're doing this. You might be touching yourself, but it doesn't really have anything to do with your pleasure. You're jacking off because I want you to. Because I want to watch you. Because I want to see you come. Every time you come, this way or any other way, it's for my pleasure. I let you come. I tell you to come. I make you come. Because that's what I want. I don't care what you want, whore. And you'll learn to care less and less about that, too. It'll free up more space in your mind for thinking about what I want. Nothing you have, or do, or are, is for you anymore. I am your whole reason for being. So when you're doing this, remember it's a duty and a performance for your owner, for your master, for me. You should want me to enjoy the show and do whatever it takes for that to happen. Do you understand? The heaviness was back in his throat, clogging the path to his lungs, but he struggled through it, wondering if it would always be there. Yes, sir. Sam stepped in close, opening his palm as if waiting for Dean to deposit something there. Give me your hand. Dean offered his hand, hesitantly, and palm down, to Sam, who turned it over. He split Dean's palm wide open on a diagonal with his thumbnail in a trickle of his power, before taking one swipe of his tongue over the blood welling there. It stung, but the wound wasn't deep, and Dean tried to ignore the queasy feeling he got when Sam wrapped that sliced-up and spit-slick hand around his nearly soft cock. Now you have a little pain to help you focus, okay? So go ahead. I want to see you come. Sam settled into the chair he'd dragged near the bottom of the bed and raised an eyebrow when Dean seemed frozen, looking back at him. Dean, don't make me tell you again. Dean blinked, exhaling the breath he seemed to have been holding, and began to slide his hand up and down on his cock. It wasn't a particularly pleasurable motion, but he was moving, which was what Sam wanted, right? Sam wanted to watch him jack off. So that's what he was doing. Sam snickered, his power offhandedly grating over Dean's skin. You're going to be doing that for a long time if you don't start enjoying yourself, Dean. I repeat, I want to see you come. I don't want to watch you bore yourself and me in the process with mechanical movements of your hand on your apparently numb cock. I want to show, whore. My own little private porno. And really, I only want to watch you do solo work right now. But if you need some help, I'm sure I could convince some of the boys downstairs to lend a hand, among other things. Dean swallowed hard and closed his eyes, blocking Sam out, only focusing on the feel of his hand on his dick, inching himself slowly towards orgasm. Open your eyes, whore. We've been through this. You're doing this for me, not you. He scoffed. I didn't realize you were such a prissy bitch, Dean. You can swallow down my cock like a good little whore. But you've got fucking stage fright when I ask you to play with yourself? Your priorities are fucking screwed. You've got 60 seconds to start the show. After that, I'll start building you a bigger audience. Go. Dean shuddered. What the fuck was wrong with him anyway? It was just jacking off. But it was more than that. Less. Worse. It was coming on command, with Sam watching him like he was just some porno stud playing a harem boy, instead of an actual person doing this because he didn't have any other choice. He could do it, though, and keep his eyes on Sam, if he could see someone else there. Someone else. His breath caught as he felt the slip slide of his fingers pulling up and down on his cock, and he looked at Sam, through Sam, as if he were a mirage, hiding his Sammy. His Sam liked to watch, too. Loved to, actually. He'd be hard as nails in 30 seconds flat with Dean pumping his hips into his hand like he was right now, his breath stuttering out of his mouth. He bit down on his bottom lip as he twisted a little at the head of his cock and rode further upwards, his dick offered up with the soft low noises spilling from the back of his throat. It felt so good, gripping his dick with an up and down tug that started to push his breaths faster into and out of his lungs. The ache in his hand only added an edge to the pleasure, and he fought to keep his eyes open, fixed on Sam, as the knot of tense sensations at the base of his dick grew and spread out. He could feel his blinks coming longer, and the sounds of his throat became curses as he fucked his hand faster, fingers wrapped tight and rough. And he yanked hard, head thrown back, with a multi-syllabled O, as his cock shot a broken stream of cum onto the sheets at his knees. Breathing deep, his hips rocked up slow one last time before he let go of his dick and allowed himself to close his eyes. Lick it up. Dean was slammed back into the reality of his situation, even though his orgasmic high was only just beginning to fade. For a few seconds, Dean didn't think he'd heard right, but he blinked rapidly, then locked his gaze with Sam's. Sam's face was blank, revealing nothing, nonchalant. Then Sam's eyebrows rose and he continued to look at Dean. I said, lick it up, whore. Dean turned away then, his exhale huffed out. He knew what Sam was asking for and fuck that. Snowballing on occasion wasn't much to complain about, but licking his own spunk off the bed was just... fuck that. You're wasting time, Dean, and heat. If I recall correctly, it's much less disgusting when it's warm. And I'm not going to stop your training if you get sick, so... lick it up. Dean turned back to face Sam, his nostrils flaring. This was ridiculous. If Sam wanted him to jack off, wanted him to suck cock, wanted him to take dick up the ass, even if it all happened daily, that was one thing. But all this bullshit with crawling and collars and inspections and licking the fucking sheets clean? No. Just... no. Fuck all of that. The calm of Sam's expression was split by a harsh smirk. What's your game plan here, Dean? What do you really think you can accomplish by glaring at me instead of doing as you're told? Are you refusing to obey my order? Testing how much I'll let you get away with before I rein you in? Dean looked down then, because he was refusing to do this, wasn't he? Or maybe he thought he should. But Sam would just hurt him, wouldn't he? Where would that get him, really? Here are the ways this kind of situation can progress. I give you an order, and then you do as you're told, and then we're all good. Or, I give you an order, then you stall or give me attitude or flat out refuse or just plain do a bad job of following the order. Then I make you do it to my liking anyway. Then I punish you, and we proceed from there. So, I repeat, lick it up. Even if some part of him was trying to be reasonable about his circumstances, Dean was torn. More than anything, he wanted to fight this as far as he could, if only because he needed to remember what it was like to fight, even though he knew that his odds of winning were poor. He went back and forth, unsure what his next move even could be, let alone what it should be. But whatever his response would have been, it came too late. His wrists were crossed harshly behind him by some unseen force, and the pain crashing down his spine made him bend as if his chin should meet his knees. Then Sam was up and standing by the bed, his hand squeezing the back of Dean's neck and pressing his face down until it was barely an inch from the surface of the bed. "Lick it up. Now." His defiance wasn't really about the act itself anymore, though. This was definitely not one of his turn-ons. But it wouldn't actually kill him to do it, even if his ego was in full effect and tried to suggest otherwise. No, he was fighting through the pain and the pressure on his neck, mostly out of principle at this point, keeping his lips sealed into a tight, thin line. But then Sam's voice seemed to lose its bottled rage, and it was almost like Sam was cooing to him. The rise and fall of his words seemed meant to soothe a child, make him feel secure. It reminded him of other times when Sam thought he was out of control and needed to talk. "It's okay if you can't do it this way, Dean. Is this too hard for you? Just tell me if you can't give me what I want this way, okay? Just tell me if you can't give me what I want this way, okay?" The near-compassionate tone of Sam's voice was kind of bizarre and didn't quite seem to fit with the continuing strength of his hands and power holding Dean in place. But for a moment, Dean almost thought the spirit of his fight had finally won him something, maybe a reprieve, at least from this particular activity. I don't think I can do this, Sam." "Okay, here's the question, though. Do you want me to help you or discipline you? You're going to have to do this one way or another, but I don't know what you think you need to get through this, to be a good boy for me. I promise I won't punish you for needing help to do this the way that I want you to, but I need you to tell me if you really need help, because I can't tell right now whether you need help or discipline." "What do you mean by help? You know I can make this easier for you, make you want it as much as I do." Sam's fingers against his neck began a kind of caress, even while continuing to hold his head down. "I can help you feel good, make you want to taste yourself for me, make you want to please me and be a good boy for me. Like yesterday. Like drugs. No. No drugs." "That's what I hear your mouth say, Dean, and it's what you've told me you decided yesterday, but all day you've been quietly fighting me at every turn. Now, I admit, I like a little challenge. It makes breaking you that much more fun. But at some point, Dean, your rebellion becomes tedious, and I have to wonder if you're even capable of submitting to me without the drugs." Dean opened and closed his mouth repeatedly, not knowing really what to say. He didn't want the drugs, but he wasn't any more sure of his ability to submit to Sam. He'd started out the day trying to keep his mouth shut, trying to do as he was told, trying not to earn too much pain, trying not to make Sam think drugging him was the best option. But his obedience had quickly devolved, so much so that, on review, it seemed more like he had moments of being good sprinkled in amongst a whole lot of passive-aggressive behavior, or just downright blatant, though often silent, refusal to accept Sam's dominance. "I knew the transition would be hard for you, so I probably should have kept you on the drug longer. But I thought you'd be able to understand the seriousness and permanence of this situation more quickly than you have. And you seemed so affected by the experience yesterday, so I guess I just thought you'd try harder today." Hearing the hint of disappointment in his brother's voice, Dean felt a twinge of something heavy in his gut, almost like guilt, almost like regret. He knew it was fucked up that he was even remotely upset with himself for not being a good slave to his brother. It made no sense, because he shouldn't feel bad that he wasn't good at whoring or even just submitting to authority. It was just that even if this wasn't really his Sam, there was still a part of him that was working to keep Sam, to make Sam want to stay with him, to make Sam content, and to make himself be everything Sam might ever need or want in a brother, partner, lover, whatever. But listen, the drugs don't have to be a permanent arrangement. We can work up to you living this way sober, after I've kind of shown you the ropes. When your attitude has been temporarily chemically altered in a way that makes you want to do as you're told. It's okay, Dean, really. I wasn't completely delusional about your ability to give up your freedom, so I have plenty of it handy, don't worry. Sam released Dean's body from the wrap of his power and drew his hand away from Dean's neck as he stepped away. Then his voice slid into a slightly more sinister tone, probably because he knew he'd already won this fight. I'll just go get some for you. Then this'll all be easier, okay? You just wait right there. I'll be right back. No. Sam, please. Dean rose up, back straightening as he sat up on his knees. Sam stopped mid-step and turned around to face Dean, crossing his arms over his pecs. His expression was unreadable, but certainly not pleased. Dean couldn't let Sam put him under with the drugs again. Wouldn't let Sam put him under like that again. I'm sorry, sir, that I've been fighting you. It's just that, I mean, the sex stuff I can do, but the other stuff is kind of extreme. Sure, but I'm an extreme kind of guy now, Dean, and I'm always doing what I want or need to do, nothing more, nothing less. Even if I tell you to guzzle a gallon of cum, it's going to have much more to do with the fact that I think it would be hot in some beautifully twisted way than any other reason. Or the order is part of some disciplinary action. In your case, most things will probably fit both criteria. Sam walked back to him, his hand reaching out to cup Dean's face. Dean's eyes shifted away from the casual sincerity in Sam's eyes, drifting downward to the rise and fall of Sam's chest as he continued speaking. It might not seem like it right now, but I really don't make you do shit just to fuck with your head. I do, however, need you to understand what you are now and what that means. You're classed as property now, Dean. Category slave. Specialization whore. Period. Pieces of property have no rights, remember? So slaves don't have the right of refusal, and whores don't have the luxury of shame. Sam paused, his hand sliding down from Dean's face, down over his chest and abs, down to brush his fingers over Dean's cock until Dean could feel his face flush and his breath speed increase. Then Sam let his hand return to its former place against Dean's now pink cheek and waited, maybe for emphasis, maybe because he could see that Dean was trying to make sense of everything. Dean remembered his first lessons here and knew that, even then, when nothing was official yet and nothing had really been explained to him, that this was where Sam had been heading all along. He wasn't allowed to have any clothes because he had to be on display all the time. He wasn't allowed to leave the suite because he had to be available at all times. He wasn't allowed to touch himself for reasons other than cleaning or using the bathroom because he no longer had that privilege. Sam wouldn't kill him unless he had to, but he was really only keeping him because he was pretty. And Sam could take what he wanted from him, whenever he liked. He hadn't known it then, but Sam was already thinking of him as his property, his slave, his whore, just his. Dean had said yesterday that he understood his new place in the world, that he believed it, but he hadn't really, not entirely. Sam actually saw him as a possession more than a person. And now Sam wanted Dean to see himself that way, too. When you don't do as you're told, Dean, it means that either you're incapable of doing so, in which case I need to medicate you into compliance, or that you refuse to accept your current status, in which case I need to hurt you and use you hard enough to make you understand. Either you can't do it or you won't do it, which means you need drugs or discipline. Sam leaned in, brushing his lips over Dean's in a barely there kiss. Choose, Dean, or I'll choose for you. Fuck, what kind of choice was that? Dean scoffed. It wasn't one, really. Not if he wanted to keep any part of himself. Sam was already taking so much, but Dean's thoughts were still his own, and there was no way he'd let his mind be overrun by the drug again. Discipline. Fine. Sam grabbed Dean's neck, stepping to the side in order to angle Dean's head down to the bed again. You know what to do, whore, and tell me when it's clean. Dean took a deep breath, shoving his ego out of the way, and licked up all his own cooling cum from the sheets, swallowing with a shudder, his stomach threatening to revolt, less from pure nausea and more from shame. It's clean, sir. Good boy. Chapter 4. The Desired Discipline. Sam let him up, but Dean kept his eyes downcast. He didn't really want to look at his brother right then, didn't want to see the desire for violence so tightly wound around the desire for pleasure. Sam took Dean's chin in his hand again, brushing Dean's lips with his thumb. I can already tell that you're going to be such a good whore for me, Dean. I just need to keep training you upright, and in a little while you'll wonder why you ever fought me at all. Dean refused to think that day would come, when he wouldn't at least want to fight, even if he couldn't fight. Without the fight, he wouldn't be himself. He'd be something else. But that was what Sam wanted, for him to be something else, right? He just had to keep believing that Sam wouldn't ever get that he wouldn't ever be that. Turn around and face the headboard. I'm going to go grab a few things from the new toy box for us to play with. As Sam walked over to the desk, Dean turned around on his knees, and when he looked up at the headboard, he saw what seemed to be a sheet flung over some new addition to the wall. He figured it probably related to the bit of construction he'd heard going on while he was in the bathroom. He didn't really want to know what kind of torture chamber apparatus was hidden there, and he was sure that now would not be the best time to ask, even if he did want to know. Whatever Sam was rummaging through in the toy box to locate would probably be painful enough without requiring wall support. Sam returned and sidled up behind him, bringing a hand around to show off one of his finds. Have you seen these before, Dean? They were nipple clamps connected by a chain. They looked like one of the adjustable kinds, but they also looked professional enough to have serious bite. Once or twice. Yeah? Sam didn't seem surprised, but he couldn't have known for sure. They never really talked about any of his more experimental sexual encounters. Were they for you, or your fuck? Dean shifted his jaw, trying to keep his breathing even. Sam seemed to find a way to pour contempt over everything, but not everything was worth fighting over. Mostly for whoever I was with. Mostly? Dean shrugged. Gotta reciprocate sometime, Sam. Sam's laugh rumbled against Dean's neck. Actually, whore, I don't. Dean swallowed, trying to ignore how Sam's laugh just made his skin crawl. Close your eyes. He closed his eyes and tried to stay still as Sam moved around him, seeming to set things down on the bed. Then Sam's hands were brushing over his stomach, fingers tracing the curve where his abdomen met his thighs, then up over his sides, all the way to his chest. He knew the clamps would hurt, that Sam wanted them to hurt, but his dick was starting to twitch with renewed interest anyway, and he found himself almost leaning back against his brother's warm chest.
Sam's palms flattened wide over his pecs, and Dean could almost visualize those broad hands moving over his body. He didn't have a thing about Sam's hands, but he was always kind of fascinated by just how big his little brother was. His breath caught, trying to escape his lungs, as Sam took both his nipples between his fingers, teasing them to hardness until Dean's cock was rising to meet his navel and his head was tilting back almost onto Sam's shoulder. Sam's right hand left his chest then, sliding down his side to the bed, then sliding slowly back up, the cool of the metal clamps in their chain trailing after it. Dean knew what was coming, in theory, but he still grunted as pain shot into him from his right nipple, and Sam wasted no time clamping the other one, making him tense and his eyelids flutter. Eyes closed, whore. Dean's breathing was rapid, from the pain, yes, but also from the way it made his dick immediately ragingly hard. He shuddered, refusing to think on his reaction, and panted out his words. "Yes, sir." He tried to slow his breathing, adjusting to the pain washing down his body from his chest, and Sam actually gave him time to adjust. Sam's hand skated over his sides, then over his thighs, skirting around the clamps and the chain, but also avoiding all contact with his stiff cock. "How are you doing?" Sam's voice was gentle, not concerned really, but sincere. "Well, Sam, my chest hurts." His words came out with more attitude than he'd intended, and he held his breath, awaiting the blaze of Sam's power. Sam just tossed the attitude right back at him, sneering, "But your dick's hard." Dean exhaled and licked his lips. "Yeah, I know." "And what does that mean?" It sounded like he was looking for some particular answer, but it was an answer Dean didn't have. He blinked twice, then remembered to keep his eyes closed, and his heart beat a little quicker as he ran his tongue over the back of his top teeth. "It doesn't mean anything, Sam." Sam's chuckle was deep and arrogant, and Dean cringed. It was a laugh like all the villains in all the thriller films he'd ever seen, only this was real, and this was Sam. "You're being an idiot about this, Dean. Seriously. But I am going to get through all those walls of denial." Sam leaned in even closer, his breath scorching down the canal of Dean's ear. "Even if I have to break out the fucking explosives." When Dean felt Sam shift back into his starting position, he allowed himself to breathe. He thought that Sam was only playing into the metaphor there, but at this point it wasn't really clear what Sam was capable of, or how far he'd go to get what he wanted from him. "So, whore, you got to see the nipple clamps." Sam let his fingers slide up to wiggle both of said clamps, making Dean shudder, short choked sounds bursting out of his throat until Sam dropped his hands to the bed. "But this is a little toy I also thought I'd let you try today." Dean felt a small, blunt object being pushed against his entrance, and he tried to relax as it slid slowly into him. "It's thick in the middle, with a curve to it, and it seemed like it might..." "Fuck." Dean breathed out the word as he felt a steady pressure against the bundle of nerves that had a direct line to his aching cock. "Yeah, I thought you might like that. But that's not even the best part." Dean could only gasp, pulling in a long, audible inhale that he held as Sam revved up the vibrations to max, and he only released it with a creaking groan when Sam took the vibration level down until it became just a heavy pulse inside him. "You can open your eyes now." Dean let his eyelids lift slowly as he relearned how to breathe, with the toy thumping gently but rhythmically in his ass. Sam glided his hands over Dean's skin, occasionally pressing and rubbing at the base of the plug, making his breath stop and start and his cock ache.
Even when Sam began to tug lightly at the chain connecting the clamps on his chest, it only seemed to add an edge to the pleasure pulsing up from his ass, and Dean could feel the leak of precum from his dick as Sam breathed harsh against his ear. "You make such a pretty whore, Dean. And you're my whore. So I'm gonna fuck you. And you're gonna like it." Dean's eyes slid shut as the low heat of Sam's voice sent a tremor of something down his spine, something only edged by fear, something more like desire with an aftertaste of shame. "You wanna come while I'm fucking your ass, don't you, Dean?" Dean started to shake his head, but Sam began tapping at the base of the toy in his ass, and Dean rode up, panting from overstimulation. "Too much. Don't. Please." But Sam kept up that steady tapping, making his ass muscles spasm and his cock jump with every beat. "Tell me the truth, whore. You want me to fuck you, don't you?" Dean's eyelids shuddered up and down as he tried to breathe through the need flooding through him. But some version of the truth still tumbled out of his mouth with a gasp. "Yes. Yes, sir." He looked down and away, and it felt like the callous edge of Sam's victory smile was searing into his skin. "Beg for it." Sam wouldn't fuck him until he begged for it. And if he didn't beg, Sam would make him hurt for it. So Dean knew he had to beg, but fuck. How could he still be so fucking needy, so aroused, when he was about to open his mouth and beg his little brother to fuck him like he was some kind of whore? Dean. It was his name, but with the low timbre and the authority that Sam put into the word, he might as well have been saying submit or obey. And Dean knew that pain was only a half-thought away. "Yes, sir. Please. Please fuck me." Sam laughed low, and Dean shrunk inwardly. "I would, Dean. If I didn't have to punish you, I would fuck you right now. But you had some moments when you were bad today, right?" He'd known it was coming, but he just really didn't want to hurt any more than he already had today, and Sam had gone out of his way to make sure that his whole body was so tight with sexual intent, so he knew that whatever Sam had planned would use that desire against him in torturous ways. "Please don't, sir. I'm sorry. I'll be good." "I know you're sorry, Dean. I do. But it doesn't work like that. If you're bad, I have to punish you so you know that you need to be a good boy for me. You want to be a good boy for me, don't you, Dean?" Did he want to be a good boy? A good boy? For Sam or anyone else? No, he didn't want to be a fucking good boy. But he really didn't want the drugs option back on the table. Everything was just so hard to say, though. Sam wanted to hear things he'd never have thought to say, let alone actually said, only a week ago. Now, if he didn't want the drugs, then his only other choices were always about experiencing pain, forming his lips to demeaning words, and offering his body up for demeaning acts. But it still wasn't really much of a choice when he thought about how much of himself he lost when the drugs were in his system. "Answer the question, whore." Dean's jaw was almost clenched, but he was trying to keep the tension to a minimum, trying to endure everything that Sam was throwing at him. "Yes, sir. I want to be a good boy for you." "Good. Then take your punishment, and then I'll fuck you. I need you to stay still, so do you want me to chain you?" Chains. They'd chained him yesterday, when he'd had that drug all over him. He couldn't move,
He just took it, wanted it so bad, just told Sam what he wanted to hear, just would have done anything. No, sir. No chains. Okay, Dean, but if you move, I'm going to punish you more. Do you understand? Yes, sir, just no chains, okay? I won't move. Fine. Sam stepped back then, and Dean nearly shook apart, knowing the next bit would be all about pain, and assuming that pain would be the kind Sam controlled with his mind. When Sam was back at the bed again, though, he didn't start straight into the discipline. He laid a black leather whip with several tails down on the bed in front of Dean's knees. It's called a flogger. Do you have any experience with this kind of thing, Dean? There was a blink of a bit of a memory that he really didn't want to talk about, especially not to Sam, and especially not in this situation. So he shrugged. Maybe a little. Was it a woman? Does it matter? Sam's power slid over Dean's skin like hot tar. What was that, whore? Yeah, yes, sir. It was a woman. Sam chuckled, mocking. Did you let her fuck you? Or did you still have the balls to top after she'd whipped you? Dean just swallowed and shook his head because he knew it hadn't been like that. She hadn't made him feel like something lesser. It had just been the kind of spice she'd wanted to try, and Dean had thought it would be a good way to burn off some of his post-hunt adrenaline. It got her riled up. It got him calmed down, and the sex had been fucking great. No more psychology or philosophy about it. It was just about good sex. We had pretty conventional sex, if that's what you're asking. Good. I get to be the first one to fuck your ass after you've been whipped. I don't like being second. Sam's voice held a menacing edge as he reached for the flogger, but Dean could tell this wasn't wholly about violence for Sam. It was still about sex. He watched the strands of the flogger slide across his still hard cock. The movements were slow and soft, and the simple way that Sam made the cords dance over his dick was making him even more sensitive, even though the crest of the flogger was only feather light. Then Sam lifted the flogger to Dean's face. Smell it. Dean set his nose against the tails of the flogger before raising his head again. It smelled like leather and cock. That's the smell of your punishment today, whore. All this leather is for giving you the pain you need to help you understand what you are. A whore. And what that means, in terms of obedience. Isn't that right, whore? Dean stared at the whip, jaw shifting restlessly. Yes, sir. All right, then. Kiss it, and we'll get started. Dean only wavered for a moment before bending to press his lips to the warm leather of the flogger. Good boy. And when Sam moved away from the bed again, Dean knew this was the real start of the discipline, and he closed his eyes and breathed deeply. He tried to keep count of how many times the flogger landed, because he thought it would keep his mind busy while he endured its punishment. He figured Sam had some number of lashes in mind, and if he could just keep counting, he could make it. He thought he could handle the pain. And he kind of could, but after 10 quick blows, there was a steady stinging sensation, and after 20, it began to feel more like burning. By 30, the ache was deep, and he cried out, fighting his body's need to move. By 40, it was just too much. The toy, still buzzing away in his ass, and the clamps, shifting with the swing of the chain on every impact, made all the pain twist up with other sensations, and his brain couldn't figure out how to process everything. He hurt so much, but his cock was still so hard, It didn't matter, though. He couldn't take any more. Couldn't. And his body was trying to move away, but the flogger only fell harder. You're not going anywhere, whore. I'm not through punishing you. Oh, God, please, please no more. I can't. Please no more. Just, I get it. I'll be good. Just please stop. Please. Sam stopped, and Dean could almost hope that this was really the end. But then an oppressive wave of heat washed over him as Sam walked up to stand just behind him. There was no physical contact, but the heat almost felt like something solid against his aching back. And Sam's voice, low over his shoulder, was no comfort either. Begging for me to stop isn't going to help you, whore. But you could show me that you really understand what this is all about, by begging to be fucked like the whore that you are. You know you want it anyway, whore. I know how hard you are right now. How much this little punishment just makes you want my dick inside you even more. What? No, that's not... Just, no. His voice was gruff and unsteady, but determined. Sam ignored it anyway. Stop pretending that you're anything other than a whore. You want this because you were made for this, because you were meant to be this. So, go ahead and beg to be used by your owner, whore. Maybe if you make it filthy enough, and you tell me all the sick, hot ways you want to feel me in you, maybe I'll get horny enough to stop beating you bloody and fuck you instead. No. Dean shook his head. Maybe he was playing the whore right now, but... He was not meant to, and he did not like this. No. Sam just stepped away again, and the flogger started to hit Dean's back again. The strokes were light at first, almost like the beginning, and his dick throbbed as the sensation slid through his system, despite any denials that he might repeat to himself. Then the strokes became sharper, the weight of the thud increasing with every hit, and Dean kept his position, but only just barely. It was getting harder to hold together, to keep quiet, to not voice the pleas that would make Sam stop. Those were the same pleas that would let Sam warp this, that would let Sam think that he wanted this, that he was made for this. But fuck, it was like every time the flogger landed, it dug into him and tore pieces away as it snapped back to Sam. He knew it was only in his head, though, that his back would be bruised, but the skin wasn't broken. He'd had enough variations on pain in his life that he knew he'd survive and heal fine if Sam would just stop soon. But he knew now that Sam wouldn't stop until he'd begged. And he just wanted the pain to stop. He could beg to make the pain stop. He'd begged before, and for less. Maybe not like this, but he could beg. Please, sir, fuck me. Please fuck me. Please just fuck me, sir, please. Sam snickered, continuing to lay into him with the flogger. Dean knew they'd passed 60 at some point, but he hurt so much now that he'd lost the current count. If you think a simple please is going to make me hot, whore, then you'll be passed out from pain in no time. You'd better learn to talk dirty, and do it fast. Talk dirty, right. Tell the man who was practically stripping the skin from his back. Tell him how much he wanted his cock. Right. Fuck, it hurts so bad, though. Like the whip was made of thin strips of metal instead of pieces of cloth. And begging was just about words, right? They were just words. They didn't mean anything. It didn't mean he really wanted to be fucked that bad. Pain or words. It didn't mean he really was a whore like that. It was just no good choices. Pain or words. He didn't want any more pain. and even if he'd never said them like this, he knew the words, knew what Sam might like to hear. He just had to say them. The speed of the flogger seemed to double then, and the strokes were hard, the chain connecting his nipples swinging with a rhythm that sent blinding sparks of pleasure-framed pain through his system. He knew he'd be deeply bruised, if not bloody, by the time Sam stopped, if he stopped. And he couldn't keep the tiny yelps of a man in pain from following his exhales into the air. His body tensed before the fall of every stroke, trying to anticipate each blow, but Sam varied the speed and placement of the strokes enough that he could never really prepare. And every time he tensed up, his ass clamped down on the vibrating toy and his body got a whole different kind of shock. His groans tied almost as much to pleasure as to pain. But everything was so intense, and he just... Fuck. He needed this to stop. Dean's face flushed red as he opened his mouth, words stuttered by the biting rhythm of the flogger, and he begged like some wanton slut, begged for the pain to end, begged for the fuck to begin. Please, sir, please fuck me. I need your cock in me. I want to feel your cum in my ass. Please, sir, fuck me hard. Please. Ugh. He cried out again as Sam struck one extra hard blow and then stopped, dragging the leather tendrils of the whip over the sensitized skin he'd just been beating. But Dean knew better than to think this was an ending. He didn't know if he begged like Sam wanted, and he had to give Sam what he wanted, or Sam would just keep hurting him. Look down, whore. Are you still hard for me? Dean didn't have to look down to know that the throb in his ass and the ache in his chest were still fucking up any good sense that his dick ever had. He shouldn't still be so hard like this. Shouldn't still want to come so bad. It was fucked. He was... Oh, fuck. Fuck, fuck. Please, Sam. Please, just... Sam was pressing the toy deeper into him, maybe deeper than it was meant to go. Sam had barely moved, but there was heat there. That's more like it, whore. You're still hard for me, aren't you? His body was so fucking mixed up right then. He was so fucking mixed up right then. Yes, sir. That's because you want to be fucked, right? Because you want me to fuck you and let you come, right, whore? Yes, sir. Please, please fuck me. He didn't know anymore if he was begging to be fucked so Sam wouldn't start flogging him again, or because of some other reason he wouldn't even admit to himself. I'm just not really feeling it yet, whore. I'm loving all the sounds you make when my whip hits you. And I just haven't heard you say anything filthy enough to really make me want to fuck you like you want right now. But you just keep on begging, and maybe in an hour or so, when my arm gets tired, I'll let one of the guards see if he can make you beg properly. Sam went back to swinging the whip, no warm-up this time, just the pounding of leather and flesh, making Dean's eyes burn with unshed tears. The pain was so steady, always building in intensity, and Dean knew he couldn't take another hour, let alone however long some guard with a tree trunk arm would be able to whip him. Biting pain and pulsing pleasure and steady aches were all sending conflicting signals through his body, and his mind tried to put the pieces together that would make this end. He knew he had to beg like he meant it this time, beg like a whore, because he was a whore now, and because if he begged, Sam would stop hurting him and start fucking him. And that's what whores were made for. What he was. No. But fucking would be better than hurting, right? He just had to beg for it. Beg like he really wanted it. Please, sir, put your cock in my ass. Fuck me, like the whore that I am. Fuck me hard. Fill me up with your cum. I want your cock so bad. Please, fuck me. I'll be your good boy. Just fuck me. Oh God, need your cock.
Fuck me, please. I want to ride your dick. Oh God, just please.
Dean's speech stumbled, almost a sob, as the tails of the whip slammed against his skin, like thick lines of living fire, again and again, until he fell back into pleading for mercy.
God, Sam, please, please, no more, please.
But Sam was relentless, and the flogger continued to strike Dean hard enough to make him whimper in time with the blows. Keep begging to be fucked, whore. His lip was quivering, face wet with some unknown mix of tears and sweat, but he didn't care about appearances right then. He just needed the pain to stop.
Please, sir, just fuck me, okay? I can make it good for you. Just please fuck me. I need it now. Oh God, please, please just fuck me. Fuck your whore, your good boy. Please. Just fuck me, please, sir, please, please, please.
His breaths were all gasps now, hiccuping pauses between please, sobbed out repeatedly. And he was so lost in his head then, lost in the back and forth of competing sensations dominated by searing pain. Whore and good boy were ringing in his ears, and he didn't even register that the snap of the flogger had stopped until he felt a slight sting prickling over his skin as Sam approached him. Chapter 5. The Destined Fuck. Dean quieted, closing his eyes and his mouth, and he let himself fall into the depths of some natural high that was flooding his mind and making him almost lightheaded, his body throbbing in a way he'd never felt before. Sam's fingers ghosted over the marks he had whipped into his skin, and Dean heard the soft rustle of Sam's boxers hitting the floor. He couldn't help that he started shivering, from pain and fear and maybe something else, when Sam wrapped himself around him, Sam's cock a hard, thick line against his lower back. "You're still excited," Sam scoffed, and seemed amazed or maybe amused. "I knew you liked it a bit rough and that you could take a lot, but I didn't realize you'd still be wanting to come even this much after I made you cry like some little bitch." Sam's hand slid down to brush gently over Dean's half-hard cock as Sam kissed up and down his right ear. And Dean was so damn sensitive that he gasped, instinctively pushing up into the contact as his cock swelled rapidly back into readiness. Sam's hand on his cock was warm, making every place that it touched pulsate with need. He'd been hard for so long without any contact there, and his body was ripe for release. But there was still so much pain throbbing through him. And if Sam wasn't done, then he'd just... This was all too much sensation. Too much anything. And he just wanted to get away. Just wanted to not have anyone touch him. Just away. "Please, just leave it, okay? Sam? Sir? Just don't, okay? Please." "Or what, whore? Or what?" Dean looked down, holding to silence, shoulders slumping. There was no what. He had nothing he could do if Sam didn't stop. He didn't have the right to move Sam's hand. He didn't even have the right to move his own body away from all the contact. He couldn't remove the toys that Sam used to keep him overstimulated. He couldn't do anything. He was just property. Just a whore. At least, that was what he was in Sam's eyes, and Sam wouldn't tolerate resistance. They'd been through that already. Resistance now would just mean even more lashings, and there was no way he would set himself up for that again if he could help it. Yeah. The answer to that would be nothing. But that's okay. I'll let you pay for that one tomorrow, whore. I know you're coming out of a pretty mild punishment, but it's your first time, so you're a little more spacey than you're used to. I get that. You'll learn to handle it better, though. That rush that comes on the heels of the pain. Because you and me, we're going to play with pain a lot together. Dean could feel Sam's nod at his neck, and his breathing speed jumped up a notch, but he just kept his mouth shut. Sam sounded like he might be done punishing him tonight, at least, and that had to be enough for now. How much you can take, how much you love it, that's just icing on the cake, Dean. Just one more bit of proof that you're meant to be my whore. It just fits you so fucking well. Like when you let go, just a minute ago, when you stopped trying to be something you're not. It was so damn hot. I liked that a lot, whore, the way you begged for me just then. I want to hear that all the time. Understand? Dean knew his body was shaky, but he tried to steady his voice. Yes, sir. And I also expect you to show me some gratitude for receiving the discipline you needed today. Dean huffed out air, his brain struggling to compute the request. He was supposed to appreciate the pain, like it was some kind of favor. But maybe it was, even after all that. Sam just as easily could have given up on disciplining him and chosen to drug him instead. It was a fucked up kind of favor, but the pain was better than the drugs, right? Yeah. Yeah, it had to be. It didn't make thanking his brother for a beating all that much easier, but he stumbled through the words, wishing he were anywhere but here. Thank you, sir, for giving me the discipline that I needed today. You're welcome, whore. I'm always willing to discipline you if that's what you need. So request it when you need it, and you'll probably save yourself from getting into more trouble than you can handle. Got that, whore? Yes, sir. I mean that, Dean. If you start to feel like you're having difficulty controlling your urge to say or do something stupid, then let me know and I'll take you down. Help you remember what you are, before you make me question the idea of you living sober again. Yes, sir. He couldn't really see himself asking his brother to punish him, but he knew that he didn't want to be forced back onto the drug, so he couldn't say it would never happen. Good. Now then, when I asked you, yesterday and the day before, if you understood your status, you lied to me, didn't you? He hadn't really known that he was lying. He'd thought that he understood, but he really hadn't. He'd said property, said whore, but in his head, the actual working definitions of those words came out looking much more like prisoner and sometimes unwilling lover. When Sam said property and whore, though, he quite literally seemed to mean object I own that I use for sexual purposes. So no, he hadn't understood his status at all. I didn't mean to, sir. I thought I knew, but I didn't. No, you didn't. That's obvious. And you didn't even begin to believe the truth of that status, did you? No, sir. It was hard for me to process. Yeah, I can tell. You needed a lot of discipline today. And I know you'll need more tomorrow, because you still don't believe it, do you? Be honest. I'll know if you're lying. Part of him wished he could just say that he believed what Sam did about his new status, about his new place in the world, so he wouldn't have to take more discipline at Sam's hands. But he just didn't believe it. Not completely. Not like that. He couldn't believe it. Wouldn't let himself believe it. This world was a false one, a nightmare given life by the Fallen and others like his brother, who they had warped in their own image. He swallowed, but told the truth. No. Well, we'll keep working on it until you do, Dean. Starting with me fucking you, just like you begged me to. Then Dean cried out, tipping forward to counter the piercing pain in his chest as Sam pulled slowly, but not gently, down on the chain hanging between his nipples. Hands and knees, whore. Dean's head sank heavily between his shoulders as he put his hands on the bed and put his ass in the air. Sam released the chain but slid the heat of his powers roughly into his body, scraping like unwashed wool against his heart and lungs. "Crawl up to the pillows and spread those legs for me." Dean blinked slowly, panting through the ache as he crawled forward, and when he'd done as he was told, he felt Sam climb onto the bed. Sam kneeled up behind him, his hands running over Dean's back again, drawing out shudders, before reaching down to twist out the vibrating toy, making Dean squirm and groan. There was no preamble, no extra lube, and no talking smack, just Sam's dick pressing steadily into his ass. Sam's thrusts were slow and deliberate, pressing inward and down across Dean's oversensitive prostate, and Dean's cock strained like it was trying to grow another inch up and another around. Dean ached everywhere, but his ass ached for this fuck. Sam's slow grind into him made his breathing stutter, his pulse race, and his cock throb for attention. The constant soft swing of the chain between his nipples, though, still sent short shocks of pain through him that were too much to ignore, despite the points of pleasure that were ruling his senses and the daze that was clouding his mind. Dean leaned his upper body closer to the bed, going to his elbows and dropping his head to the pillows. He set the chain at his chest down on the sheet with a sigh, lessening gravity's hold on his abused nipples. Sam's hands were firm on his hips, and with the easy pace of Sam's movements, there was nothing to really jar the chain out of place. The ache of Sam's power even eased, settling inside him, not grating against anything anymore, just present and living, like the weight of a cat that curled up on his chest. His back seemed to throb with his pulse, and he knew welts and bruises were blooming there, but he found himself enjoying the sex itself almost like it was any other fuck. The lead-in had been hard, but now Sam was just steady pushing in and steady pulling out, only to do it all over again, Sam's murmurs and moans floating somewhere over his head. It was almost hypnotic, the sliding fullness of cock in and out of his ass, and he was okay now. Really, he was more than okay. He was practically flying, his body overcompensating for the pain. In his head, he could hear the beat of his blood pumping, almost in slow motion, through his system, and it was amplified by the throb in his chest, in his back, his cock. The slow cadence of Sam's movements matched the beat almost perfectly, and even with his dick aching for release, he felt his mind drifting, his body no longer so much enduring as just existing. It was easier than he thought, not fighting it, just taking it, not asking for mercy, just knowing that there wouldn't be any. He had been right when he thought that the sex would be pretty easy to handle. A little laugh gurgled up into the pillow, muffled. He just hadn't realized the line between the sex and the pain would be so blurred that even he would get confused about what was supposed to feel good and what was supposed to feel bad. Another little laugh threatened to tumble out of his mouth, but he pushed it down, his stomach quaking gently. He had to stay still, be good. Then maybe Sam would let him come, or at least let him sleep. Sleep would be good. Maybe Sammy would be there. Yeah, he just had to be good. Then he could rest for a while and see Sammy. Dean, are you still with me? Yes, sir. His voice sounded strange in his head, like his mouth was sticky with taffy that wouldn't open quickly enough. Sam snickered, rocking his hips against his ass, not quite thrusting in or pulling out. It's good, isn't it, whore? Dean didn't know what exactly Sam was talking about, but answers requiring the least thought usually went over just fine. Yes, sir. Is this the fuck you were begging for, whore? He'd only been on a boat a few times, but this rocking motion was what he remembered most. It was okay. He could handle this.
Yes, sir.
You want me to keep fucking you?
Yes. His brain worked to unknot itself, trying to understand if this was a trick question. He was supposed to be property. Sam wouldn't ask a chair if he wanted to be used, so he hadn't thought that he had much choice in the matter. Honestly, though, he was exhausted, and a quick cum just wasn't worth all of this.
Would you stop if I said no?
You'd be lying, so no.
Then why even ask the question?
Then just finish taking what you want, Sam.
The words cracked in his throat, a flash of despair stealing away some of the mellow he'd been drowning in.
You're right. Sam slid almost entirely out of him, but then Dean cried out as Sam slammed into him hard enough to make his eyes water and overwhelm his waning high with the burn of a rough entry.
You're meant to be my whore, so you're meant to take everything I can give.
Sam pulled back only to drive into him again, as if to break him, and Dean grunted into the pillow, all thoughts shattering around the soreness in his ass. Sam set up a brutal rhythm then, pounding into Dean over and over, relentless, and Dean could barely bring in oxygen fast enough, and he wasn't the only one having trouble keeping up with the pace. Sam's words were all raspy or groaned, his voice thoroughly wrecked.
Fuck. Love fucking your tight little hole.
One of Sam's hands stayed at Dean's hip, keeping Dean right where he wanted him, but Dean couldn't stop the keening noises that fell from his mouth as the fingers of Sam's other hand slid up to trace wide figure eights, like jagged rocks, over his abused skin. Somehow, though, the nerves in his back had their circuits crossed with the ones linked to his dick, because it throbbed and jumped with every play of Sam's hands there, making every breath a gasp.
You were fucking made for this.
Sam was fucking into him so violently it felt like it was bruising his insides, but his cock was still achingly hard, and when he looked down, he could see the shine of pre-cum on the head of his dick as it bounced with Sam's thrusts.
Fuck. It was sick how much he wanted a hand on his cock right then, to feel the shift and pull as Sam fucked the thought right out of his brain.
He lifted his head, breathing hard, and hoped that Sam would be done soon, that he would let him come soon. His dick would be put out easy. He only needed a little friction and a little slide.
Yeah.
Sam slowed his thrust, ramming his cock into Dean's ass once more, making him grunt, then rolling his hips with his dick buried deep.
Tell me what you are, Dean.
Sam's power inside him unfurled, adding an internal pressure to the many aches in his body and letting Dean know that Sam would allow no leeway on this. He didn't even try to fight. He just gasped the words into the heated air around them.
Property. Whore.
That's right. Sam pulled back out, only to slam in again, groaning over him.
Oh, yeah. When and where?
Dean tried not to let the words tear into him, but they fell out, half-choked.
Always. Everywhere.
Fuck yes. My whore. Always. Sam was riding into him again, steady, but now the pace was more bearable, almost pleasurable, sitting at some midpoint between the way they'd started and the way they'd just finished. And the whole of Sam's hand was brushing over the sore spots on his back, making his breath creak, but sending a tremor of need down to his cock. He wished he could stop this, stop himself, because only a whore would... He just shouldn't be able to want this. But then Sam slid his hand down his back and over his side to wind his fingers around his cock. He stroked slowly, but it was still plenty fast enough to make the tempo of Dean's breath increase exponentially.
Beg me to let you come, whore.
Dean fought to think through the haze of shame and pleasure and pain. He wanted release, but more than that, if Sam was going to let him come, then maybe this was almost done. Maybe Sam was almost done with him tonight, and Dean would beg for that, for this to be done. "Please, sir, please let me come. Please, please, just, oh God, let me come, please." Sam continued jacking him off, and Dean could feel the first tingles in his sack that said his cock was loving this, even if he was having a tough time wrapping his brain around everything. Then the hand Sam had at his waist snuck up to his chest and snapped off one clamp, then the other, quickly, and Dean howled, his nipples screaming with pain, as if Sam had cut into them instead of freeing them from the pinch of metal. Sam's hand was rubbing over his chest then, and he couldn't tell if the ache was purely from pain, if there was some overload of pleasure, but the sensations were all too strong. "Please, no more. It's, oh God, too much. Please, sir, please, just, please, no more." But then Sam rolled one of those hypersensitized nipples between his thumb and forefinger, and Dean arched up and back into Sam, his breath a stuttered, "Oh." "See that, Dean? See how your body responds to me? You love this." It felt like his body was just one live nerve, some living instrument that Sam could play any way he pleased. Dean could hate how he got this way, hate what it all meant, but fuck if right now it didn't seem like maybe, in some fucked up way, he... No. But then Sam tightened his grip on his dick, and even with the aches all over and inside his body, the tightening of muscles rolling from his gut told him that his cock was ready to burst. His words came out panted as he pleaded to be allowed to come. "Please, fuck. Oh, just, sir, please, please let me, come. Dean felt Sam shift, leaning in close as his cock slid in and out of Sam's fist, sending rising swirls of pleasure up his body. "Please, just... You'll come when I tell you to, whore. I am gonna let you come a little early because you're being such a good little whore for me right now, and I don't mind rewarding good behavior. But I'm still gonna fuck your hot little ass to pieces." Sam pumped his fist over Dean's cock, his strokes quick and rough, driving into Dean from behind and driving Dean out of his mind with the intensity of his rising orgasm. "Oh, fuck, please. You know you fucking love this, whore. Show me." Dean's breathing was erratic, and fuck, he could feel the trembling beginnings of orgasm, fanning out like shockwaves from his dick. He felt Sam twist over the head of his cock, and he rapidly fucked himself into a frenzy, back onto Sam's cock and up into the hot slide of Sam's hand. "Please. Please." Then Sam's voice was low and warm on his neck. "Come for me." And Dean shuddered, groaning long and loud into the pillows, his orgasm overtaking him. His cock jerked with the force of each spurt of cum as pleasure rolled through him, washing up his body like warm water and massaging itself deep into his muscles. He heard Sam's labored breaths as if from a distance, as Sam kept driving into him, and he exhaled, almost yawning, as the aftermath of ecstasy left him spent, nearly a rag doll in Sam's arms. His shaky legs were barely holding him up, and Sam kept fucking into his overtaxed body, no more gently than before, until Dean thought he might collapse. But then Sam's thrusts lost their rhythm, stuttering, then stopping with a low moan as he felt the hot, wet rush of Sam's cum deep in his ass. Sam held his position for a few moments longer, his breath a breeze over Dean's sweat-drenched skin. Then he pulled out, back and away, getting down from the bed with a satisfied sigh. Chapter 6. The Willing Words. Dean collapsed down onto the cum-covered sheets, his body weak from stress and overuse,
his mind slow to fix all the pieces that Sam kept breaking. He hoped Sam would just leave him be for a minute, so he could just breathe and not move. Breathe and not have to be on call for Sam's wants and Sam's needs. He heard the slide of the sheet above the headboard being pulled down from the wall, but he didn't lift his head to look at whatever was revealed. His energy stores were depleted, and his limbs felt like jello from the bliss at the height of his recent orgasm. His body, though, felt somehow shredded inside and out, like Sam had stolen tiny bits of him while they fucked. And he prayed to any deity still listening that Sam didn't want to use him again tonight. But then he felt the warmth of his brother's body as Sam stretched out, laying himself entirely on top of him. He felt a sudden urge to scramble away, as if someone were brandishing the flame of a torch in his face. But there was nowhere for him to go, and no way to get there. Sam had positioned himself as if to claim him, stealing away his ability to move and barely allowing him room to breathe. All the skin-to-skin contact was too intense after the harshness of the day, and it made it hard for him to even think. It felt like Sam was imposing himself on every part of his body and his mind. Sam sniffed at his hair and neck, reminding Dean of the near wild dogs around Bobby's yard and the way they sized up new mutts on the lot. "You reek of fear and sex. You smell like a whore who's been put in his place. I like it. I'm going to make sure you're like this all the time. Well fucked and properly afraid." Dean tried to breathe through the dense fear flooding into him. "Remember this, Dean, because this is us. Always. Me above you. You thinking only about me. Me holding you down. You never getting out from under me. Me using you however and whenever and wherever I like. And you taking any and everything, begging for it, coming from it. This is the way it'll be. Always." Dean shivered under him, trying not to believe that this was for always, trying not to feel like the despair of his situation was crushing him far more than the weight of his brother on his back. And Sam just lay there, letting Dean know, silently, that he was property, that he was a whore, that he couldn't really fight this, that he'd be hurt if he even tried, that he just had to take whatever Sam gave. His hands clenched and unclenched as he waited for Sam to move. It shouldn't have been so hard. Sam wasn't hurting him or using him. He was just there, just in his space, just not letting him have a minute to live without being reminded that he was trapped from all sides. He just needed a minute, 60 seconds, 30 seconds even, to try to be even just some small part of himself as he used to be before. To try to remember what it was like to have breathing space, real choice, independence, freedom. But he got nothing. Sam just lay there, just breathed over him, pressing his heat into Dean's already flushed skin. It was maddening. The heaviness of Sam deepened the ache of his back and his chest, but it also grated over his nerves like sandpaper. He was used to having Sam in his personal space, but with the way Sam was right now and the way he had used him today, it all just felt as prickly as a bed full of spiders. Dean was burning to get away, and he was really starting to split at the seams and lose what little composure he still had left. "Can you just give me some space for a minute, please, sir?" Sam's voice was silky, his tone amused. "I don't know. I'm kind of comfortable here. I was thinking maybe we could sleep this way tonight." Dean felt the tempo of his breath spike up instantly. "What? Please, just a minute, sir, please." "Well, tell me what you've learned today, and then maybe I'll give you that minute." Dean fought
down the urge to force Sam off of him and earn more punishment. What I've learned? Yes, Dean. What has this training day taught you? About being a good whore. Sam shifted, still wholly on top of him, but now the downward pressure was more forceful, intentional. Dean craned his neck, head tilting further to the side as he strained not to drown in the pillow, despite the press of Sam's body. I mean, if you haven't learned anything, then maybe we need to start over from the beginning right now and go through it all again before the sun comes up tomorrow. He let Sam take his arms and stretch them out before Sam covered them with his own, forcing his hands to be still. His breath was coming too fast now, but he couldn't steady it. Because if this was the start of this whole process again, then he was going to lose his fucking mind. No, I've learned things, sir. Well, then open your mouth, whore, and tell me what you've learned. Dean shuddered as he reviewed the day in his mind, hoping to find something to say, something Sam wanted to hear. His voice was hesitant as he stumbled through the things he could remember that seemed to be lessons or something from the grueling day. Only your mouth. I'm not supposed to use my hands, just my mouth, when you want me to suck your cock and relax your throat. I should relax so you can do what you want with me, and I want to see my whore open for me. I should make sure that you can see all of me when I'm kneeling or lying down and crawl to me. You were stalling. I shouldn't waste time when I'm following orders. Feeling sorry for yourself, whore? If I'm on a leash, I should pay attention and it's for my pleasure. Whenever I come, it's not really for my pleasure. It's for yours. I am your whole reason for being. Everything I do should be to please you, and if you're bad, I have to punish you. You'll punish me to make me be good, and before you do something stupid, let me know. And I should ask for discipline if I need it. You better learn to talk dirty. If you tell me to beg, I should make it dirty, and he gulped, out of words. And I don't know what else, sir. He hoped that would be enough. The words tasted like something had rotted in his mouth and felt like a brand publicly stamping him as something unclean. It was fucked up that these were lessons his brother had been trying to teach him today, but he'd gotten off on it, hadn't he? He'd begged to be fucked, begged to come, right? And when Sam let him, he'd come so hard his whole body had given out, right? So maybe he was just as fucked up as Sam and all the rest of this. Maybe Sam was right. No. This was not him. He was not a whore, and he wasn't meant to be a whore. He just had to play the whore, for now. Until he fixed this. Then both he and Sam could be who they really were. It might feel like, and he had to do some things that, but this wasn't permanent. It wasn't. He'd fix this. That's good, Dean. You're learning. But what are the most important things to keep in mind? Dean searched his memory, but he just didn't know what Sam was talking about. I don't know, sir. What, when, and where? Dean squeezed his eyes shut tight and tried to shut down the ripple of hopelessness that slid through him whenever he had to say these words. I'm your property. I'm your whore. always and everywhere. It almost seemed easier to say now, but that didn't mean he believed it, because he didn't. There had to be a way out. So no, he didn't believe any of it. He didn't. Good boy. Sam said it with a trace of genuine pride, and Dean tried to ignore the faint glimmer of some unnamed positive feeling that sprung up inside because he'd apparently done something right for once. Then Sam finally slid off him to stand next to the bed, facing the headboard, and Dean's tension eased, but the relief didn't last. Come kneel at my feet. Dean was so tired, so thoroughly fucked out, so utterly used and beyond any healthy point of distress. But Sam had said the words in such a reverent way, even though Dean knew they were still a command, and it would probably be a bad idea to make Sam think that he only responded well to orders that were barked or colored by pain. So he dragged himself off the bed and down to the floor, turning away from the headboard to kneel at Sam's feet, and he bowed his head as much in exhaustion as submission. Sam rested a hand on Dean's head, gentle and deliberate, as if bestowing a blessing or honor. Repeat after me. I will submit completely to my master in all ways. Dean's breath hitched. He knew he would have to give this, to submit. He knew that. He'd been doing it all day, but he didn't know he'd have to say it, to actually verbalize his willingness to be owned and used by Sam for the rest of his life. Dean, you've done okay today, but it's not enough for your body to be willing. You have to offer yourself, formally, with the litany of a slave, because that's what you are and what you'll always be. Dean's breathing was rapid, but he couldn't open his mouth and say the words. If you can't do this, you know your other options. Dean was chewing his lip, but he nodded dully. Sam would drug him or seriously harm him to get the words out of him anyway, and he already had enough of both of those to last a while. He had to do this. He knew that. But he didn't really do all this emotional stuff. Formal relationship-type commitment junk. More than that, though, he'd never spoken about any supposed matters of the heart with Sam before, and it felt so wrong that he was on his knees giving himself to a shadow of his brother when he'd never had the strength to just open his mouth and tell Sam that he needed him, cherished him. He swallowed, an ache spreading outward from the center of his chest, sight burning with the rain of forbidden grief. This wasn't the Sam who should know his devotion. Dean. Dean flinched, expecting pain that didn't come. Last chance to do this the easy way. Okay. His voice was barely there, a gust of air with one consonant. Okay? Yes. I'll do this, sir. I'll offer myself to you. It felt sunless, like the road to damnation. But there didn't seem to be roads leading elsewhere anymore. Good. So, repeat after me. I will submit completely to my master in all ways. It sounded like Sam was reading something and maybe even pacing out the rhythm to fall just right, but it didn't really matter one way or the other, right? It was formal and seemed overly planned, but hadn't that been the whole reason for the training process today? To make this whole twisted situation official? To make him understand what he was to Sam now? Dean knew it was crazy, and that he was all but signing his life away, but he just didn't know what else to do. He was weary and aching and outmatched, and this was still Sam. He didn't have his Sam right then, but there was always a chance. He just had to be patient, keep trying to get through to his brother, keep trying to find a way to fight the darkness in him and in the world.
And really, these were just words. Pain or drugs or words. He nodded, and his jaw was set tight, but he said it because he knew he had to. I will submit completely to my master, in all ways. It was somehow at the same time surreal and jarring to refer to Sam as his master, but if Dean was owned, a slave, then his owner, Sam, would be his master. He knew that, knew Sam owned him, knew Sam thought of him as his property, knew Sam was his master, knew Sam thought of him as a whore. He knew that already. It had only been a few days, but Sam had made sure to at least beat that much into him. Still, Dean thanked any god who still cared for the small mercy of only having to call Sam sir instead of having to use the term master on any regular basis. There is no place, time, or situation in which I may disobey my master without risking punishment. He'd said it yesterday, closed his eyes and responded to Sam's prompts with always and everywhere. And he'd said it earlier, full of cock and groaning with pain. But this was sober, this was clear-headed, this was a verbal agreement to submit, one that he chose out of multiple options. He knew the other options were pain or drugs, but that didn't make him feel any better. There is no place, time, or situation in which I may disobey my master without risking punishment. I will accept any punishment my master decides to inflict, earned or not, severe or not. There would be no appeals process here, no chance to charm his way out of punishment unless he was willing to do just what he'd done today and play the part of the cock-hungry whore. From the patterns and pains of these first few days, Dean could already tell that Sam would be punishing him harshly and often, and he didn't need any right to tell him that Sam would make him take every moment of groveling and every strike of the whip. I will accept any punishment my master decides to inflict, earned or not, severe or not. I will not seek affection from or submit to anyone else without my master's permission. That was okay, though, right? It would mean he couldn't choose to be with others, but maybe it meant Sam wouldn't really share him. At least, maybe not often. Or maybe only when he was bad, like he threatened to do earlier. Yeah, that was okay. He couldn't be this for anyone but Sam. He just couldn't. I will not seek affection from or submit to anyone else without my master's permission. Everything I own belongs to my master to do with as he sees fit. He'd never really owned much anyway, and whatever he'd had was always practically family property, so that wasn't so bad, right? He wondered about his car, but Sam would probably never let him drive it again. It hurt, sure, thinking that he'd never have his hands around the wheel again, but he hurt more elsewhere. In his back from the flogging, in his knees from the kneeling and crawling, and in his heart from needing a lost brother he didn't know how to find. Everything I own belongs to my master, to do with as he sees fit. Everything I am, body, mind, heart, and soul, belongs to my master, to be used as he sees fit. Everything, fuck. What if this was because always and everywhere and everything seemed like, fuck, he had nothing now. Nothing, not even himself. But he had Sam, kind of, and he would have his Sam again. Just as soon as he figured out how to fix this. And he would. He would. He wasn't giving up on the idea of getting his Sam back. even if he had to give up everything to get his chance to set things right. Because if he had Sam, he'd have everything he really needed. Everything I am, body, mind, heart, and soul, belongs to my master, to be used as he sees fit. I will please my master to the best of my ability. It had never been the case that he didn't want Sam to be happy, and it wasn't like he'd never used sex to make Sam smile his way into sleep. This was only different because of who Sam was right then, and what Sam wanted from him. But he'd still do what he could. And he had a full body ache to remind him that Sam wouldn't settle for anything less than his best. I will please my master to the best of my ability. I know that from this point forward I exist solely for the pleasure of my master. He would get his Sam back someday, hopefully soon, but until then, this Sam would make sure that his whole existence was about sex, about making Sam happy with the works of his body. He knew that. He'd seen today just how hard it could be. But he'd be okay. He just had to remember that as long as the strength of the pain was survivable. It was worth it to get Sammy back. Really, mostly anything would be worth it. It wasn't a question anymore. I know that from this point forward, I exist solely for the pleasure of my master. And I accept my master's claim to total ownership of me. And I accept my master's claim to total ownership of me. He was owned. He was property. He belonged wholly to Sam, and he had no right to anything. But he only had a moment to mourn his lost freedom before his thoughts scattered as a large spear of heat shot down through the center of him, from his head to the base of his spine, and he felt another slice of his strength melt away as Sam whispered, over his head. The sensation faded quickly, but it left Dean wondering, rather belatedly, if saying the words aloud was as much a mystical ritual as a symbolic one. Chapter 7. The Supposed Warrior. Stand up. He didn't know what Sam had done to him, but right then, more than anything, he just wanted to curl into bed and sleep. He struggled to his feet, though, eyes nearly closed and head hanging, but it was as much from disgrace as fatigue. Turn around. Dean turned, slowly, trying to square his shoulders in some display of the confidence and strength that he really couldn't access right then. But Sam pulled him back into an embrace, his lips skating over the top of his ear. Look, Dean. It felt like his head was 5 times heavier than usual, but Sam's voice held a hint of triumph and maybe a little awe, which could never be good. So he raised his eyes and was immediately taken aback. He felt his adrenaline spike, momentarily dampening any drowsiness, and his mouth fell open, his chest rising and falling rapidly with agitated air. Above the headboard, almost covering the entire span of the wall space between the two posts, there was a massive plaque, almost. It was wood, with calligraphy in black and red ink, and it spelled out the entirety of what he'd just said, titled, The Litany of a Slave. And there at the bottom was his signature, just below Sam's, though he had no memory of signing anything like this. Everywhere you see the word I, as in you, the slave, it's written in your blood. And everywhere you see master, as in me, the owner, it's written with mine. Dean shuddered, anger and fear bubbling up equally strong. They usually only do it on letter-sized parchment, and I have a copy of that in my records, but I thought this might help you understand. So I had it specially commissioned. That's why I needed all of that blood the other day.
The scribe wasn't happy when I asked him to expedite the order this morning, but, you know, I just made sure he understand how important this was. Beautiful, isn't it? Fuck Sam's inappropriate cheeriness. That was not his signature. I didn't sign that, Sam. Sure you did. You agreed to this contract 30 seconds ago, and your signature wrote itself, here and on every other copy being kept on file. Dean knew his breathing was dangerously shallow, but he couldn't stem the rising tide of panic. See, Dean? You were owned the moment I paid for the license to legally own you, and you were bound to me when this was written in our blood. But now you've offered yourself to me? He made a sound, half moan, half sigh. The bond is so much stronger, brother. Now, your soul is marked as mine until I decide I no longer want you. Dean's retort was immediate and sharp, terror and betrayal tearing away at his restraint. What the fuck does that even mean, Sam? He felt Sam bristle behind him, the air around them heating. Funny how fast that attitude comes back when I'm not hurting you. You should really work on that, Dean. There are so many beautiful ways for you to be in pain all the time, if that's what it takes to keep you in line. Why don't you try that again, whore? Dean tried to swallow the razor edge of his emotions, and it sliced into him all the way down. He really wasn't trying to give Sam more reasons to make him hurt, but this was all so fucked, and it was crazy that he wasn't even allowed to show his anger. His jaw clenched, but he softened his tone in his words. Sorry, sir, but what does it mean for my soul to be marked? It connects you to me in every way you can imagine, and probably a few you can't. Anyone with a sensitivity to auras, or the state of souls, will see that you belong to me. And other fallen, and children of fallen, will know that you're owned, most likely when they see you, but certainly by the time they're in close quarters with you. It's theoretically temporary, rather like penciling my name on the inside flap of a book. I can remove my mark whenever I like, say if I plan to give you away, or trade you in for something new, or sell you at auction, or even just throw you away. If, that is, I ever decided to let you live as anything other than my property. Dean's breath caught and he blinked slowly, struck silent by the thought that Sam might, that he would even think about giving him away, or trading him, or selling him, or throwing him away. It does provide you with some level of protection, at least, insofar as people respect me. They'll respect that you're my property, and should, therefore, not be used or damaged without my approval, except in extreme circumstances. It also means, though, that when you're out among other people, you're a member of my household, and your behavior reflects on me. Sam laughed then. Which is why I'm never taking you out anywhere. Dean ignored the jibe, caught up in thinking about what it meant for his soul to be marked as Sam's property. His anger was fading more and more into a kind of quiet fear. Protection was okay, but he knew the kind of magic that really fucked with human souls was... Dark didn't even begin to cover it. What does that mean for when I die? Oh, yeah, that. Well, you won't be dying anytime soon, so it's not a pressing issue, but if you're worried about this sending you to hell, I can assure you, brother, that you are already headed there anyway. Dean shivered. He'd made too many morally questionable decisions in his life to think that heaven was a sure deal, even if it existed in the most progressive way imagined. But despite the way he'd lived his life, he didn't think he had any more real regrets than most other people. So he'd always kind of thought that there was some hope for absolution, since no one seemed to know for sure how someone ended up on one list or the other. But now, Sam might really have inside information or something. Do you know that for sure? I do, actually. You're more like me than you think. I believe the word is irredeemable. Sam purred the word like it was naughty enough to make his dick hard. I may have chosen to own you for me, but really, I'm doing you a favor. I've never been, but I've felt it, and hell's not pretty, Dean. If I hadn't made you mine, you would have been killed that first day, and you would have been a tainted soul for anyone to have. But not now. He shrugged slightly. Now you're just mine, and I don't plan to hand you over to anyone else to torture anytime soon, not even the devil himself. I'm sure you'll be around here for quite a while, and really, if I want you burning and screaming, I'll just do it myself. Dean shuddered, Sam's power pricking his skin like 1,000 dancing needles. I did say always, didn't I? Dean struggled to make his mouth work. Yes, sir. Yeah. Keep that in mind, Dean. And just look above the bed whenever you feel yourself slipping. Just read it over again and remind yourself that you're my property. Always. Do you need to read it over again now? His lips trembled as he formed the words. No, sir. I understand. Good. Sam nodded, seeming pleased, his power settling back into a warm hum. Then he paused, shaking his head a little. Besides, why would you want to be on the losing side anyway, Dean? What are you saying, Sam? Dean had enough shocks for the day, too many shocks to his body and far too many to his mind, but he had to ask the question. There was no other way to respond to a question like that in a situation like this. My side is winning, Dean. The earth is ours. All that good guys triumph in the end bullshit is just that. Bullshit. Everything's about power. We had it. And when we came out to play, all the holy dominoes fell flat, Dean. I mean, look at you. A supposed warrior for their so-called forces of good. What were you doing the night we made our move? Oh yeah, you were moaning filthy things as your little half-fallen brother fucked you into oblivion. Really, though? That's what you should have been doing if you wanted to support our cause. A good fuck was just what I needed right then. Oh, and what about before then, when we were making plans and making allies? Not just behind your back, but under your nose and right in front of your fucking face? You didn't let yourself see what was going on, Dean. You were too busy giving me what I needed and trying to pretend that all was well. You could have stopped me. Or at least you could have tried. Sam kissed the inside of his ear then, his words only a whisper. You just didn't want to. Fuck you. If there had been any way he could have stopped all this, Dean knew that he would have stopped it, or died trying. Sam had just been really good at hiding his darkness. He just seemed like some jaded version of the Sam he'd always known. There might have been times when he thought something was wrong, but they came in and out like blinks. And there may have been some times when he shouldn't have let Sam convince him to make certain choices. But really, he did not have to compile a list of excuses. Sam just didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. Ha! I'll just add that to tomorrow's tab, Sam laughed, but the sound was like knives sharpening. The truth is, though, Dean, you've been playing for our team for a long time. You fell way before I did. It was necessary.
You were my protector until I had to really grow up and learn to protect myself. I've just stopped lying to myself and embraced what I was meant to be. You should try it, Dean. Everything is so much better when you stop pretending and just give yourself over to the pull of the heat and the power of the dark. Your strength as the hunter, the protector, has been redirected. This way, you can continue to give me what I need, even though I need something different from you now. Stop fighting it, Dean. You're not meant to rule here, but I am, brother. And you belong to me. So you can revel in the knowledge that you're mine. He scoffed. You've always been in a service role anyway, Dean, and in the service of this destiny, one way or another. This might not be your world right now, because you won't let it be, but my power, the success of my work here, all of this, it isn't just mine, Dean. It's ours. Dean's whole body tensed impossibly. You're lying. He had to be. I'm really not. I don't have any real reason to lie to you. I own you, you're out of options, and it's only a matter of time before I completely break you. I don't have to convince you to join us with words. I know you'll understand it all eventually. I won't, Sam. I'm not whatever you think I am. You can do whatever the fuck you want to me, but I'm never going to think hell on earth is okay. Calm down. I thought that too once. But I know better now. And you will too, Dean. Don't worry. I'll show you the way. Sam said it like Dean was trapped somewhere, like Sam was coming to save him. Like everything he was saying was the answer to the meaning of life and not just fucking insane. No, I won't. Shh. I don't want to fight about it. You're not ready to accept the truth yet. I know that. And I'm not going to change my mind about this, so I suggest you keep your trap shut. If you don't, I'm sure you'll regret it tomorrow. Understand? Dean didn't understand anything. It was like nothing made any sense anymore. He'd been working for the bad guys all along, and his soul was now somehow doubly damned, and Sam was going to help him see the truth about the glory of a demon-ruled world? No, he didn't understand. Don't overthink this, Dean. It's a simple question. Do you understand that if you fight me on this, you won't win anything except more punishment? Pain. Yeah, he didn't want any more pain. But everything was so fucked, and Sam was so clearly confused. As in cult member conditioning kind of confused. Dean puffed out air through his nose and his eyebrows knit together, not really knowing what to say, but still feeling like he should say something to try to get Sam to at least question his support for the fallen agenda and their twisted idea of the Winchester destiny. But then it was like that first day again. He felt like there was a lasso around his heart, trying to pull it out of his chest. His breaths were scorching his lungs, and the air around him had hardened somehow, becoming almost combustible. Do you feel that, Dean? Sam's voice was firm, sensual, but with a deadly edge. Dean just nodded, unable to do much else. That's me. And it's only a taste of me. I told you, I don't want to fight about this. But do you want to feel me in you like this? Feel me squeezing the blood from your heart? Feel me burning you up from the inside out? I can do that if that's what you need so you can be good right now. Dean shook his head slowly, mouth fighting the sting of the heat. No, sir. Well, let's sleep then. Chapter 8, The Sweet Deal.
Dean nodded, the ache in his chest spreading even after Sam had withdrawn his power, and he reached to pull back the sheets, but Sam stopped him, gently. "Wait." Sam released him from their embrace and headed to the door for a word with the guards. Dean didn't know if Sam's temporary absence from his personal space was intended to give him the minute he'd asked for earlier, but he was thankful for the momentary reprieve either way. He stood where Sam had left him and tried to understand how they'd gotten to this point and what this point was exactly. Sam didn't seem to have everything in place, but a lot of this still must have been prearranged. This whole situation had to have been in the works for weeks, at least, before they even came to Colorado. Months, even. And whether or not Dean liked to admit it, Sam had probably been priming him for this for even longer. Sam had set him up without a hint of hesitation. It reminded Dean about the total lack of remorse Sam had shown that first day when he talked about the Armageddon he had helped to create. He remembered how hard he'd clung to the idea that something had found its way inside Sam and was controlling all of this, that it wasn't really his brother behind those shaded eyes. Sam told him then, however, how he'd hidden how much he'd changed for all those months they'd been reunited, and it had been quite a shock. But it was even more of a shock now to think back on all that time on the road, knowing that Sam had been plotting not just destruction on a massive scale, but he'd also been plotting to own him, to break him, to make him a whore. He wrapped his arms around his body, jaw clenched, and closed his eyes to block out the sight of his own little, pretty prison cell. How many times when they'd been together had Sam pushed him or tricked him into things, or been more forceful and careless than he should have been with him? Dean had always just brushed it off, because Sam was having a rough time, and because Sam was physically stronger than he used to be, and because he didn't mind giving Sam what he needed, even if he was exhausted or not exactly in the mood, and even if he ended up a little sore. Because he wanted to support Sam however he could, and because he didn't want Sam to leave again. But Sam had been careless because he hadn't really cared anymore. His Sam might have cared about him, the Sam he used to know. But to the Sam he'd picked up in Minnesota, he'd probably always been a whore. Dean might have only known it for a few days, but Sam had been using him for almost a year. Sam had taken the hunt from him now, taken his stuff and made him a prisoner, and Sam had tacked on the formal trappings of total submission. But Dean knew, now, that he'd been whoring for Sam since the first time he'd... And he might have wanted out of this before, but now he needed to get out of this. Needed his Sam, because he could barely remember what it was like to have something good in his life, to know that there even was anything good in the world at all. He felt movement brush past him, and he opened his eyes, moving away from the young men stripping the sheets from the bed. He tried to remember if he'd seen them before, but he didn't think so. Where had all these people come from? The guards, the woman this afternoon, these two male maid types? Was Sam really so powerful that he'd just hired or conscripted or maybe even enslaved a whole estate's worth of people to handle things that were beneath him? The bedmakers weren't looking at him or anything. They were just doing their job, apparently. But Dean just kept moving backward in his confusion until he nearly tripped over a chair. Sam caught him before he hit the ground and hauled him back to his feet, his eyebrow inching upwards. "You okay?" It seemed to be a question about his mental state as much as his physical state. "Yeah. I was just... thinking too hard." "What do you expect, Sam?" His voice wasn't angry or loud. He just sounded drained and frustrated, probably because that was most of what he was feeling right then, along with a pretty large dose of betrayal. Sam looked at him for a long time before nodding slowly. "Respect, obedience, and first-class service." Dean hung his head at that, and when Sam pulled him into his arms, he didn't resist. He just set his head on Sam's shoulder and felt them breathing, not quite in sync. "You might wish this worked some other way, but it doesn't, and it won't ever work some other way. You're making this harder than it needs to be. We have a nice clean place, cool in the summer, warm in the winter. We have great food and people to prepare it and attend to most of the other mundane things. We have the world at our feet, Dean. Or at least I do. And through me, you do too. Why do you feel the need to fight me when this is such a sweet deal, and you're not going to win?" He lifted his head, throat tight, and pulled back a little to look Sam right in the eye. "However you got all this, Sam, it was wrong. However you think you earned this, I know that you had to cut some people down, and I know that's never going to be all right with me. So I'm sorry if I can't celebrate the fact that I'm a slave to someone who lives like a king because he's good at being a murderer and a thief." There was a flicker of something in Sam's eyes that wasn't anger right then. A twitch, like maybe what he'd said had penetrated that hard, dark shell. Like maybe the arrow of his words had slid right past this Sam and hit the Sam that might actually give a fuck about all people he'd hurt. About Dean. But then it was gone and Sam smirked, not quite as convincing as Dean had seen before, but it was hard and cold nonetheless. And the amusement in his voice was sharp. "Man, do I spoil you! Most slaves would be grateful for a pillow in the little cage in the basement where they're chained whenever they're not being used. You, however, have everything, and you act like it's nothing, just because I have a hard job and you don't agree with my politics. That's really narrow-minded of you, Dean. I thought you were a bigger man than that. It wounds me. Really, it does." Sam's full-on wicked smirk was back again in a flash then. "So I'll just have to make sure you pay double in pain tomorrow. And, of course, you'll have to practice comforting me. A lot. Since you work so hard to put me down and keep pestering me with all these needless attempts to fight someone with clearly superior abilities. Not to mention how little you actually learned today, which will mean tons of repetition until things start to line up correctly in your obviously slow mind." Dean tried to keep the challenge in his eyes, but then one of Sam's hands began to track up from his waist and he could feel the deep ache of fingers pressing into what were probably already layers of bruises on his back. He gasped, leaning deeper into Sam's body, trying to lessen the press of those fingers. "I will whip you tomorrow morning before I leave, and again tomorrow afternoon when I get back. I will use you every time I even think about it, and you will beg me for the privilege of that use every single time." Dean just finally had to look away, trying to twist out of Sam's grasp, but he was held tight, and he could feel Sam's heat rising around him as Sam kneaded into his abused body, and he gasped through the pain. Fighting wins you nothing but more pain and more use. If that's all you want, then you don't need to fight me. Just beg for it, and I'll make sure you get what you need. If that's not what you want, then you need self-correct whenever you start to be disrespectful or disobedient. An immediate apology will always lessen your punishment, but it would be even better if you could actually just use that willpower of yours to be good for me. Are we clear? It felt like all the walls kept shrinking in on him. The more he fought being caged like this, the less room he was given to fight in. He couldn't give up on fighting entirely, but he'd have to try fighting some other way, because this direct confrontation method seemed to lead one step forward and five steps back. He knew that he wasn't doing so terribly with keeping his head together right then, but he didn't know if it wasn't just speeding up Sam's plans for breaking him by heaping all these back steps on top of each other. He cried out as Sam's fingers dug into his back and dragged, as if to claw out muscle, though it didn't feel like they pierced the skin. Are we clear?
Yes, sir. The phrase was halfway out of his mouth before Sam had even finished the question.
Good. Go get in the bed.
When Sam let him go, Dean sagged but stepped away, averting his eyes, and moved around him to get into the newly made bed. The servants must have left while he and Sam were talking. He slipped under the covers and tried not to think about how long Sam had been waiting to do this and how long he could stay who he was with Sam pushing him like this. Sam turned out the light and slid in beside him, spooning into the back of Dean's body, but neither of them said anything, and neither of them fell into sleep. After a while, the rhythm of their breathing brought Dean a kind of calm. The arms around him were just warm now, not hot, and it almost felt like all the moments just before sleep back when things had been different, when they'd been good, even when they were tough.
You're not sleeping, so what are you thinking about?
Sam's voice was really just Sam this time, no edge.
Not thinking about anything, Sam.
He couldn't mask the sadness that was filling him up right then.
That's not going to work here either, Dean. I want to know what's going on in that head of yours.
Silence.
So, tell me.
The prodding was still gentle, but Dean knew it didn't have to be.
I don't know, Sam. Just stuff. Nothing, okay?
No, not okay. You don't have the right to keep anything from me, Dean. So if I tell you to talk, it's an order and I expect you to obey.
The edge was creeping back into Sam's voice, and it wasn't like Dean really did have nothing on his mind. He just wasn't much of a talker when it came to his own internal processes. But he wasn't dumb, and as kind as Sam was being at the moment, not following orders meant punishment here, and it just wasn't worth it right then.
Well, when did you decide to do this? To own me like this?
Sam just breathed softly for a moment, seeming to consider the question.
Probably the first time you refused me. I couldn't figure out, though, if you'd survive the transition or if I'd just have to kill you anyway. Then, after I'd had you again, I knew that I just had to make you survive the change. I set up this little living arrangement so that we would both be comfortable, but you would be secure, and I would still be able to do what I needed to do in the field.
Are you out making war, Sam? Is that what in the field means? Burning down cities? Making humans into slaves? Killing people who rebel? Is that where you go when you're not here?
Dean felt like he already knew the answer, his tone almost as emotionless as Sam's so often was these days. But he still had to ask, had to know for sure how far Sam had fallen.
That's not really any of your business. Whores don't need to know about politics, Dean. You just need to know how I like to use you when I'm here, and how to behave when I'm not. Understand, whore?
Dean ground his teeth together, almost immediately and violently upset, maybe because Sam wouldn't let him know about anything beyond his supposed status as a whore, or maybe because Sam hadn't denied that he went out killing and enslaving people. Dean knew he couldn't show that anger, though, or risk even more pain tomorrow. So he just said what he was expected to say.
Yes, sir.
Then shut up and sleep. You need your beauty rest, after all. I mean, that's the main reason I keep you, right? So, you might want to take good care of yourself, because you need to be pleasing to me. don't you, whore?
Dean took a deep breath, willing his teeth apart as he tried to keep himself calm enough not to do something suicidal, like slam his elbow back into Sam's ribs. His head ached with the effort of it, but his eyes began to feel gritty with oncoming sleep.
Yes, sir.
Oh, now see? You can be such a good boy, Dean. You're never going to win, so you don't need to fight me all the time. Everything will work out just fine as long as you keep being good, okay? Just like this. Are you going to be a good boy for me, Dean?
Yes, sir.
Dean heard the defeat in his own voice, but he knew that still didn't mean he'd ever really stop fighting, stop trying to win this. He'd just have to keep that fight inside and stay alert enough to see the makings of an exit sign when they appeared.
Go to sleep, then.
Dean nodded, his eyelids heavy, and Sam nuzzled into him, kissing his hair.
Oh, and you won't be cutting your hair anytime soon, by the way.
Sam's voice was a low rumble, his lips brushing over Dean's ear.
I want something I can hold on to when I'm using you.
He didn't know why Sam's words made his cock twitch, but he let go of his worry as quickly as it came to him. And he whispered, "Yes, sir," as bone-deep fatigue pulled him down into sleep.